This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, well, good evening. It is 7 o'clock. It's Tuesday night. We are coming to you live from the Q-Talk America studios located in Central Phoenix, right here in what I like to call Q-Talk Plaza, even though there's no sign, we don't pay any licensing fees. I just named it that.
That's fine. It's a good name.
I liked it. I thought it was fun for me. This is the show. We come to you each and every Tuesday night, like it or not, 7 to 10, right here from Q-Talk America. I am Clayton McKee, your humble host. Thank you for being here. Along with us for this journey into God knows what this week is always with us, Katie June.
Hi.
Hi, Katie.
How are you?
Also, Al Perkins.
Well, good morning.
He's here, and our special guest in studio, Marnie, by the way. Marnie is celebrating a two-year anniversary with her and Ernie, as Al likes to call her. Erin.
Yeah.
So sweet.
She's very kind of me, yes.
Our in-studio guest this week in the lovely, understated red and turquoise shirts is Dion Brown from IONAZ Magazine. Hi.
Hi. Thank you very much. Long time friend, first time guest.
Long time, first time.
Well, now, truth be known, we've all known each other for quite some time, but I think the actual history goes further back. You and Al have known each other since, oh my gosh, a long
time. Since I was a teenager.
Stop it. Boy. Teenager?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I mean, you're one of those people that I've just, like, Renee and Doug, that I just met that first summer I lived out here and just was like, okay, that's Dion. Like,
oh, boy.
Yeah,
we were a teenager.
Yeah.
Do you remember the meeting, Dion? Because it seems a little more fuzzy with you.
No, it's really fuzzy. I'm just guessing because I was trying to think of that.
It's a lot of vodka under the bridge.
Because the first clear place I can picture you is at Mike and Darren's bachelor party at AZ88.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Like, and that's 91, so that's 22 years, but I know I had known you. I mean, I wasn't like, and this is Dion. Like,
you guys weren't palling around.
But there was. I mean, there was so many parties and so many bars, and everybody. You just followed a circle of like.
Sure.
Wednesday night was BS West. Thursday night was Newtown.
Oh, yeah.
Like you
they
went from drink
that.
Special to or Tuesday night was Newtown. You went drink special to drink special, and we were all there. But Renee and I were in the car putting on makeup. That was the problem.
Like, spending most of the evening not making it into the bar.
We were completely trashed.
Right,
but we were putting on eyeliner and mascara. And then by the time we finally wandered in,
party
we
was over.
Out on the floor.
Yeah. Party was over. Yes.
It was mostly after hours training because we know. I mean, we know all the exact same people.
Oh yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Since the dawn of time.
Then when you were
at BS West for a decade.
For a decade. It's supposed to be one night.
Poor Al. Then Al made the mistake of giving me his email address when after I was unceremoniously dumped by Stephen Armstrong, the man who ruined my life.
Well, we are off and running.
And Valentine's Day forever.
Wow.
Luckily, I still have flashbacks from Valentine's Day from his breakup.
Near the crane machine. And daily emails that were pages long.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then I saw him, and then he looked at me. And then I said, "Don't you look at me."
Well, I'm sure you were burning up American Online for me.
A love affair lost.
You've got me
next to a plush toy crane machine.
Right.
It's one of those things they never covered on Sex and the City, like
awesome.
Like getting broken up with on a post-it or on an email message next to a plush toy crane machine.
That is the truth.
Wow. Where was it? Was it at a Denny's?
No, at BS West.
Oh, I forgot about that.
At the skill crane,
That usually had Ginger, the old lady, standing there winning.
I forgot about that. Machine.
And she would win the stuffed animals for people to give to their dogs to chew on. I mean, it was the kind of shit that should be out of a sitcom, but unfortunately it was my life.
And then the dogs would get sick from whatever the plushies were stuffed with. And
exactly.
From China.
Whatever fiber, whatever mystery thing.
I know I've said it 100 times, only because I've heard the story. One of my favorite stories about you, that's why I referred to it today on Facebook. You used to drive a Ford Torino car,
1973 right. Ford Grand
and
Torino.
Grand
but this
Torino.
Is but this is back when you were at ASU, correct? When you met Doug and so forth. And I don't remember the full story, but somebody said to you something about your car. Oh, you drive a Torino, and you're like, no, it's a Grand Torino,
not the petite Torino,
no, the Grand,
the grand Torino.
Oh my gosh, Grand Torinos are cool.
I like how
you know what
Katie
it was
Googles
such a,
everything.
Everything.
I'm a Google.
This was the four-source sedan. It wasn't the cute.
Oh,
this wasn't
it.
Like the sexy
the
muscle car.
No.
It was the four-door. It was the four-door. What color?
It was kind of a medium green, metallic.
Oh.
It was like a block and a half long. It had like, you know, you could see the tail end of it when you were turning a corner.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I had a two-door version of that car was what Starsky and Hutch drove.
Yeah, it's really
but
cool.
But the four-door version
was what your grandmother drove.
That's what DR drove.
On your way home to watch Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah. But you know what? It had bench seats, a great make-out car.
Oh!
And I got to make out in
and
it,
and it was full on.
I imagine.
Yeah, I imagine I would have made lovely babies in it.
I'm sure it
was. My parents had, and I got it for a while. I had it for a while, an 81 Delta 88 that was green. That was That was a full-size motherfucker. And
yes.
Seats about 20. Every time I hear Love Shack, I'm like, oh, I drove that car. It was so big, but that was perfect for
11 or 12 doors.
Yeah.
And sex was easy in the back seat. Like, nobody had to be limber. Out. You'll just put your one leg here and the other leg in the pantry. You'll be fine.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Oh, my
head. There was even a cigarette lighter in them, too.
Yes.
Oh, before we had to charge things like cell phones and Discmans, they used them for actual cigarettes, from what I understand.
Oh,
and
an ashtray.
And a full ashtray, because my dad drove it back and forth to work, so that ashtray was always falling.
Oh, your dad, I didn't know your dad was a smoker. I guess I forgot that somehow.
Yeah.
Wow. Any of you, were you a smoker, Dion, ever?
Oh, yeah. I still battle the demon nicotine.
Oh, do you? Do you?
It's like I'm like a social smoker.
Okay.
I'm like really
ashamed. Those people, I only smoke when I drink. I understand. I mean, I've heard of that. I don't understand because I've never done it, but I've heard that millions of times.
But, you know, I know what's funny. Like, I just had to, like, picture you in a bar, and I'm like, yeah, he smoked once in a while. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't lie my way out of this.
You got to put yourself, like, okay, now picture the bar. He's got his vodka cranberry splash of 7.
Yeah. Well, you are good.
Good. Did you just call out his beverage?
And there was
now I'm picturing
the wheels
in the bar,
are turning.
So.
Like you were recreating that whole scene in your mind just now.
Wow,
good, Al.
In drag as Betty Davis,
smoker.
When you could smoke in bars, because it's been a really long time.
It was just after I left working in bars.
Which was like when was
06.
That?
Bad time.
Okay,
it was like 2 weeks later in 06.
You're like, damn it.
Because were you a smoker?
Mm-mm.
Never a smoker.
But we all.
And I have a horrible reaction to it. Like, I have so much trouble breathing.
What we all used to experience, I don't think you, I don't actually think you ever went through this because of your youth. You knew what clothes you came home from the bar the night before.
Jesus, yeah.
Because, and working at Winx, though they had an exhaust fan that nobody liked to run it for some reason, but that was a cinder block full of smoke.
I will list the offenders. Winx, that smoke eater was never cleaned. Never.
Probably not.
Never. They have a TV in front of the smoke eater at Roscoe's. No, we had the smoke eater at BS West cleaned. Those two smoke eaters were cleaned every Monday, and I wrote the check. Like, by Forge Eddie McNeil's name.
Of course.
But those things got cleaned every week. And that's why I couldn't bartend. That's why mostly I was a cocktail waitress, because behind the bar, I couldn't get away from the smoke. Blowing the smoke right in my face. And by the end of the night, I was 6. But at the tables, I could walk.
Right.
And if you started smoking,
leave.
I could either stand behind you. Like, I would get away from the smoke somehow.
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful
thing.
I love it.
The doors were always open. Everyone was always bitching about the heat. I'm like, oh, no, kids, we need cross ventilation in this motherfucker.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the same thing. I mean, I deal with it still on Charlie's patio, because though it's outside, enough venting.
It's enclosed. Yeah, it's enclosed.
Right, not enough venting.
Unless you're actually playing volleyball, can't smell the
smoke. We are working
bullshit.
Hard on cementing that shit in. Trust, we are pushing everything we can to get him to do that. Just because there's no point. Nobody, it's not even regulation size. Who fucking cares? We have 4 people show up that drink water that don't contribute to the revenue of the bar.
Right.
Are you trying to get rid of the volleyball court?
It's a goal of ours and a lot of other people on staff.
Yeah.
The owner hasn't bought in yet, but we're hoping.
That's a nice novelty then, because then what is it? It's just one more piece of concrete.
Sand, although one time a cockroach crawled across my foot. That happened. Yeah, on the sand. Now, That has also happened in my backyard and one time in my bathroom.
Nice recovery, Katie.
Well, no, I'm saying they're everywhere, but it freaked me out. And it was like sandy, and so I felt like I was... If I'm inside of a bar, I'm feeling more safe because I'm indoors, and that's not going to happen. Right. But like outside, I saw a roach, and I...
No, but I think it was proven. We do several outdoor events, and this past weekend was the Saguaro Cup softball tournament. Teams from all over the country are here. The week prior to that was Pride, and you just realize that so many people, it's all plywood at this point, covered over. But that's where people want to be. They want to be outside, the smaller area of the patio.
Right.
Let them be outside
in this weather. Yeah.
And Bill, well, I don't care. We'll go to Home Depot. We'll buy that shade covering screen shit and put over it. I am fine. I'll hang it myself. But you look at the yard on 7th Avenue across from the old Winks, the old...
Really good point.
Yep. That patio is phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal.
It's a really, really good
smoke
patio.
All you want. You're not gonna bug me because it's just going to blow away and be fine.
Yeah.
The crappy restaurant I went to yesterday, the patio was delightful. Like, it was all...
They always had a delightful patio.
You could see where it could... It seemed slightly different because... But then again, I was... The last time I was there was for my 40th birthday for... when it was N32.
Just 2 years ago?
Just 2 days ago. but you could see... Oh, and Harrison sent me a birthday card today. Thank you. It's not my birthday. But it was a funny card.
Good, because I kind of felt like a dick all of a sudden. No.
But it hit all like the windows and doors that it could be like a glassed-in Arizona room, or it hit like...
And their patio.
Last night was a lovely breeze, and it was beautiful out there. It seemed more finished. I felt like the old patio didn't have all the walls around it, like... I felt like the old patio was inclement weather. You just went inside, not...
Yeah, it kind of was. I didn't remember that.
It had like the half walls.
Yeah, no, and this is all the way...
It's totally covered.
Demi walls. Little demi walls.
Thank you.
It sounds like one of those insults like, you know, both oars aren't in the water. It's like, patio doesn't have all four walls.
Our patio doesn't have all four walls.
Wow.
That is funny.
Oh, my heavens. Well, briefly, let's catch up. We only have just a couple minutes. Katie, you had a good week?
I had a great week.
Good. What's going on with fertility?
We go again next month.
Okay.
So I had to go to my doctor's today. Took 2 hours of my life. This is why I just sometimes want to punch doctors in the face. 2 hours out of my day with my child who was like at nap time. And they pulled me back in and he goes, well, showed me exactly what I thought it was. Here's the result. Everything's good. We'll see you next month. That couldn't have been done on the telephone.
Yeah.
Like, just that, maybe. A nurse could have called me. Like, anybody. Maybe
I'll even
the
send you the $15 copay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all you want. If that's all you want is the copay and the bill, then bill it and call me.
You know, the one thing that I was thinking, I wonder if it's because...
I'll play along with the lie.
Yes. Is because but what if it's bad news? Right? So then, I feel... That's what I was thinking. They have to call everybody in.
Because, in an overly cold room and have a discussion with you.
Yes. But if it's, God forbid, it's bad news, and then every time it's good news, they tell you on the phone, and then all of a sudden, and they say, we need to see you in the office.
Oh,
then it's like, oh my God, I'm dying tomorrow. Anyway, everything's good.
So they're always going to tell you further tests are necessary. They're never going to say, you have cancer. They're going to say, further tests are necessary. You got to come in for more. You know, they're never going to. And even
Freaky
if they could figure out something the first day, there's got to be 4 more tests they can bill you for before they, you know what I mean? I'm sure there's something we can check in the program.
Yeah. Right.
Have you ever had bad news delivered to you at the doctor's office? You know, that...
I have not. No.
I can
tell you from firsthand experience, when my father died, they called us, you know, we went to the... He had like this massive heart attack, and he was like kind of alive when he left the house.
Kind of like Al was today.
We weren't really thinking that a whole lot was going to change. My mother prepared us for the worst. So they take us into the hospital in a room that is about as big as your bathroom, with 2 folding chairs in it. And nurses periodically would like look through the doorway and look kind of aghast, and then they'd scurry away. Then finally a doctor comes and says, I'm afraid I have some bad news for you. Your father's dead.
Oh my God. And he just leaves?
And he leaves.
Oh.
Or your father's no longer with... I don't know how he couched it, but it was... There was no big cushy room with oak paneling and... A lovingly appointed crush field with fresh flowers.
What hospital is this? I have a guess.
This was at Tempe St. Luke's.
Oh, that was my guess number 2.
Wow, so good.
And I mean, they were just sort of like, oh, well.
Well, guess what? Your dad's dead.
Don't take sick people to Tempe St. Luke's.
Yeah. The exit,
even when there's no hope,
it's right down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see ya.
Then they have, you know, like the death lady come in, and she's like, you know, I'm very sorry for your loss. We have some decisions that need to be made.
God. We talked about this, Dion, last week, a little bit at the end of the show and then afterward.
Yeah,
and
while we were all drunk and sappy.
I know. I was like in tears.
Because you know how these conversations go. Yeah. 90 minutes after alcohol
has been served. But we were talking about like having to go through that.
Well, I'll tell you, it is not like it happens on Dynasty where there's the big cushy room with the leather furniture.
You really wanted that
shoulder pads.
And a shoulder to cry on.
No.
Extra large shoulder pads.
Or hotel or Knott's Landing or any soap. No. It's a cold little room with folding chairs and fluorescent lighting.
Nobody looks good in fluorescent lighting. Notice we have incandescent lighting in the studio here.
And I like that. Yeah. I can appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Also, can our viewers. Hi.
Yes. Hi.
So the doctor says, everything's fine. Have a nice day.
Good.
He's talking to you.
Oh, yes. I'm like, he did say that. That's really lousy.
It's just like
a whole vodka drink so far. Yeah. Like one whole vodka drink.
I guess we'll
only
probably,
15 minutes
I guess really the reality is we'll know when you're pregnant when you stop drinking.
You will.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Well, that's the thing is that it's not going to be like, I'm not going to be able to have that big surprise because I'm pregnant because I will just like
walk into the bottle of Avion and we're going, she's knocked up.
Yeah, something's happening over here. Yeah.
Well, I had two friends that were trying to get pregnant and they weren't talking about it a lot. And I never know when the right time is to ask because if there's a way to phrase something badly, it's going to come out of my mouth.
Oh, I'm
so
next
I would just wait at a restaurant to see if they ordered cocktails or sodas. And then I'd be like, so it's a soda. What's up? You know what I mean?
Right.
You still don't want to ask because they're kind of
early. What
do
you mean? I'm not an alcoholic. I drink soda all the time. Yeah.
And now I work with a lot of women. And so a lot of the those things go wrong.
That's the only bad thing. That I am really, really open with all of my friends and everybody, all the ships at sea, about what's happening in my uterus. And so the only bad thing is that everyone will know when it happens because I will naturally be making some lifestyle changes.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
And then that's the only problem is you really never want to actually say it out loud until you're at like 12 weeks.
12 weeks, right.
So,
at least.
Whoa.
And some people wait if they've had a problem. Some people wait even long. They wait till they're like actually showing. And then you have to like two lunches. Like what's going on? Because you don't want you think you can. That's why I said my rule now with women. Until they hand me the baby and make me say something to it, I will not discuss a pregnancy. Like, it is off the table.
And that's fine, Katie. If you want to do it that way, we don't have to discuss this anymore at all.
Oh, no, I will.
We'll let it go.
No, I talk about it all the time.
Well, you brought up STDs from Nantucket, so we're good times. Mr. Brown, how are things in your world, though that you're not a regular participant in the show? How is life? Are you good?
It's been a little bit topsy-turvy.
Now, your dog has sugar beeties. We found that out.
Sugar beeties.
She come down with the sugars.
Yes.
Yeah.
How does a dog get sugar beeties?
Same way the humans do.
What the hell were you feeding her?
I feed her. I'm like so good. I mean, she gets her kibble, and I mean, she maybe gets a last bite of like a people food. But I mean, she's not. I have been like such a model parent for this dog.
Yeah, it's just.
Now, how do you find out? Now, what? Because I know nothing about having a. How do you all of a sudden you're suspecting something's wrong? You take her to the
frequent urination, and like one night she wet the bed. She sleeps with me. I mean, a little.
Right now, I got to book a doctor's appointment tomorrow.
A little 20-pound dog.
Is a beautiful dog.
Thank you.
She really is.
I rolled
sweet.
Over.
Ethel?
There was Mabel.
Mabel.
It was one of those old lady names.
Yes.
There was, I mean, a flood of water. It's like, how did your little dog bladder hold that much water?
Well, because it was on the bed. Had it been on the floor, I'm sure it would have been a little loose.
But you know, Harrison will have to kick in because diabetes means water. Like so there's like diabetes mellitus, diabetes insipidus, but it's water. So it's your body like regulating waters and sugars and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why like humans, they constantly thirsty and constantly peeing. Like they can't regulate.
Oh, okay.
They just can't regulate everything. So the constant urination and peeing and like. And then they have, and it's just, that's just, your dog's old. That's why I asked how old the dog was, because then it's just old, like, things are going.
She's a little older. I'm not saying old, but.
Oldish.
Al doesn't like us to mention
that. No, no, no.
She's
mature.
Not a puppy. She's not
once,
a puppy.
Once you get to 10 and a dog, we're at...
Yeah.
You're
70.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, you got an
shut
elderly
your mouth,
dog
Al. My dog is going to live to be 80.
And
zip it.
If that's what you want to hear.
So I will let our listeners know right now that that you will have to bow out. You will not be part of our hour three because you have got to go home and maintain your dog's health.
Give her the insulin shot.
Yes, and by all means, we do not want to be responsible for detaining you.
So now what kind of a schedule are you on with that?
Every 12 hours, 4 units of, insulin.
Now, and
then you have to feed her? It's like, is her feeding have to be really regulated? Or
No, I have to feed her... I only fed her once a day because that's all she ever wanted to eat was once a day. And so
clearly not my dog.
Twice. So now I feed her twice a day. And so, of course, probably
like around the time of the shots or something?
Yeah, yeah. So like some kind of $1 million dog food. I haven't gotten the bill yet from the vet.
Oh,
so.
How long is this?
I would Google it and find a cheaper version. I'm sure somebody's already come up with a...
What's your
diabetes
what insurer version? Diabetes right. insurer.
What
dogs.
Time frame are we talking? Has this been a week, 2 weeks for you?
It's been like a week and a half.
Do we notice a difference in the dog?
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh really? Good.
I mean, it was interesting when it was like
another good
really...
story from Q Talk.
Success story.
It was when she was getting like really needy when it was starting to get. It seemed like it happened very, very quickly. And, she really wanted to be, like, right by me. And, usually she's like, I'm going to sleep on the sofa. I'm going to sleep on the rug. I'm going to go sleep in the hall, whatever. Right. And she wanted to be, like, right next to me.
Oh, okay.
And then she wanted to go out and pee. And, it happened so quickly. It really felt like it happened really quickly.
Hmm? Well, at least she's good.
Face.
At least she's good, and you've
she's
seen
a little sweetie
and
pie.
You've seen progress already in Mabel. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and and my vet's office is they're wonderful.
Where do you go?
I go to Arcadia Animal Hospital.
Little plug, Arcadia.
Oh, I didn't realize you were over in that direction.
No, I'm not. But I mean, that's
no, I'm not.
Not anywhere near
but
there.
But he's such a terrific, terrific veterinarian, and
gotcha. That's
and,
cool.
And he's young, and the place is clean, and the. You can tell they really, really care. They're really invested in the little pet friends that go.
Because you live downtown here somewhere, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I live over on. I don't know if it's appropriate.
We don't give actual addresses. You can give a vicinity if you'd like to.
I live over by Winks.
Oh, that's right. You still live there.
Yes.
You guys, can you remind me where Winks was?
Okay, you know where Apollo's is?
Yes.
If you're on the same side of the street and you go south about 2 blocks, it's right there. It's across from Help Lumber.
Okay.
And for those of you people listening out of our area, you don't fucking care.
Yeah. I know, but I'm so sorry. Where the Calvary was?
5707 North.
It used to be next to the Planned Parenthood.
Right.
God bless
you. I used to tell people when Winks, the bar, the gay bar was there, I said I could go there and get drunk. Go get knocked up, get taken care of, and then go to a rehab clinic.
Right across the street.
And then get some wood.
We used to have wood. On Fridays, I remember going in on because remember Winks Happy Hour used to be crazy on Fridays. It used to be that the people would check into the Calvary, whatever the hell it was called, the rehab center that was behind us. They would jump the wall.
Stop.
And they would run in, and they didn't give a shit what kind of bar it was. They'd run in, and they'd do a shot or two, and then run back and jump the wall to go back into the rehab center.
Oh, my goodness.
If that bar was still open, we'd probably still have things going on there today.
That's wild.
But just to divulge more secrets, isn't the place behind Winks, isn't that for, like crack and meth, like isn't that more of
it's all rehabs for alcohol, crack.
I thought it was a drug rehab, not an alcohol
no,
rehab.
It's any kind of rehab.
I think it's even sex rehab.
Oh, hey.
I like how they lump them all together. So Tyler in Tennessee says to get Equate brand.
Dog food?
Yeah, so check out Equate brand.
Equate, EQUATE.
Thank you, Tyler in Tennessee.
Yeah. He's one of our longtime listeners, Dion. We realize you're new to this, but he's been with us almost since day one. Al? You? What's up?
Oh, no, just a fun week. Yesterday I was busy. I got a night off from work Saturday, and so I got my week started.
We had a lovely lunch together yesterday. That was fun.
I
surprising.
I did something I have not done, and I swear to God, it's been, probably 7 years. Went to, like, what is Zia Records. They have a new location.
The new big one.
Right, at 19th Avenue and Kelbeck, yes.
So it was just so much fun to go and wander through a record store again. My absolute
favorite thing. I love that you're saying that. I thought that when I drove by and saw it, and I went, I used to love to just go to Zia and walk around.
And just walk through.
It's amazing what you will find. Things you forgot you loved, and you'll find it for $2.
Yes.
Yeah, so and then they had the movie section. Like, when I was in France, I did a whole day in Paris in the Tower Records. But actually, both trips to Paris. I knew where the Tower Records was, and I found rare treats over there and, like, spent a whole day. And in New York, the Tower Records in Times Square was always, like, a whole... And I would always lie to people. I'll be out in 5 minutes. Oh, I'm lying through my teeth.
You guys go have lunch, see a movie, do something. I'll
be lost in the Kate Bush section for about a week.
You're in Paris, France... And you're in the Louvre and you go to the Tower Records.
I did both.
The one in the
No one lost out. I did the Marie Antoinette tour, and if she had been alive today, she would have gone to. She would have been a believer.
Had she been alive,
she would have gone to Tower
Too
Records.
Too bad she got her head chopped off.
Yeah,
because if she didn't, she would have been a believer.
Is that not a fucking douche?
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it was fun, and then I was just having so much fun, and then they were playing Depeche Mode over the top. So, of course, once they start playing good music, and I'm like singing and flipping through stuff, and I actually went to like clean out a cupboard full of like duplicate DVDs and CDs and stuff that I actually have too many copies of because I own stuff on like every available
media source
that I'm like, okay, we can pare down and see what somebody actually wants to buy.
The surprise to me was he actually had to use his car to go there. Because he had so much shit,
he drove
to Zia.
It wouldn't all fit in the basket, so I had to drive. And then I texted him, and he was like, "Oh, we're at Maisie's having lunch." I'm like, "Well, I've already eaten, but I can go have a glass of wine."
Positively.
And then I got gift cards from work, and oh god, Tyler says it's the Walmart generic trash band. All right, so it was a joke. Tyler trying to get people to go, trying to drag friends into a Walmart.
Again, that's right. I use the mouthwash. It's
feel free to.
I
look
would
up
never
something
rinse my mouth with rinse my mouth with Walmart.
Or
that's
I don't know. It's Target, isn't it? Target that has the Equate.
No,
they have Up and Away or whatever it is.
Oh, is it?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what it's really called. So it was fun. And then went like did the whole bike, and my friends all wanted from work to like do the bike journey because the last time they were driving while I was on my bike, you have never heard a bunch of people whine so much about, and it was a long bike ride. Because we went to 32nd and Campbell, 32nd and Campbell back to my house. They had to pick up their bikes and do it, and then they had to ride home. And they were like, "We got to crash at your house." And one guy's like, "I got to take my daughter to work tomorrow." And like, we would arrive in places. They're like, "How could you still be drunk? We're sober. We've been on these bikes forever."
So is this what you were doing yesterday? This is the bike? Because I see Mark's happy that you're back along.
I really was not feeling it. Like this morning, and one guy had to leave because he had a little stomach problem in the middle of dinner. And then like this morning, I'm like,
uh-oh.
Like I don't really feel
trouble in the
like,
Netherlands.
This is
from this Center Bistro. Y'all were
No. It had nothing to do with the food. No.
Oh God, should I?
Oh no, it's all right. But it had
okay.
We'll redact that.
I'm gonna reel it back in.
But it had nothing to do with the food. He was already not feeling well. But there's like something going on at the hospital, and I was really nervous that it had like landed on our shores. And I'm like,
oh no.
But then I felt like about 3 o'clock this afternoon. I ate, and I'm like, all right.
You're back at it.
Back at normal. He's good. He's bounced back.
I can leave. I don't have to keep the bathroom in my sights now.
Fortunately, at this new studio, it's right across.
It's right across.
We're good. Yeah. We're good.
I took a big pile of books and DVDs. Boy, that was...
Wow. And you were worried you wouldn't fit in, Dion.
Either really, really good timing or just really bad.
Yeah. Wear gloves.
What about your big pile?
Of books and DVDs.
Oh.
To Bookman's.
Last week. I have a huge bag of books in my backseat that has been there for like months.
It was so great.
It's fun.
I got $250 credit in.
Oh my God. Wow.
You really had a big pile.
Oh, I did. But then it's sort of like, you didn't take this book. You didn't take France Under the Germans.
No.
This is an excellent book. Well, I'm offended.
Yeah.
Look at what's popular.
A lot of my vinyl, a lot of it I won't get rid of, but like a couple years ago when I was selling off vinyl, I brought stuff to, and I, it must have been, what was the, what was Zia? Because it was in Tempe. I brought it to Zia in Tempe, and that they, like, offered me something, and I'm like, this is, like, mint condition. Like, these are, like, 45 still in the picture sleeves. This is, like, picture discs and everything. Like, these are, like...
I'm picturing a... This I'm is sorry, stuff that I hunt, you know no, I go
to
woman.
No, but I go to Tower Records in France. I got some cool shit.
Bitch, do you know what this is?
So they were not impressed. And then around 97, I met the biggest Prince freak in the entire world. I mean, this guy was, like... Oh, I can say retarded. Marnie's not here. Mm-hmm. He was just... stupid over, well, now I've made retarded sound like it's stupid, so and it's my bad. But he really had a problem. But anyways, he spent a lot of money and he bought the whole
Keep
Prince
digging
collection.
The hole.
Yeah. So I was like, so that's what a lot of it comes down to is now I have to find collectors for some of the stuff I have. And the Prince one was just a great find. As he was talking about it, I'm like, I can make a couple of your dreams come true. Like a couple of the things he was like, I heard, because he was a lot younger. He's like, I heard that there was this thing, and I heard there was that thing, and I'm like, yep, it's in the closet in my room.
Yeah. There's that.
So we only have a couple minutes before the break. Clayton, yes, how was your week?
Well, this week was kind of an interesting, a fun week for me. As most of you all know, I work for my day job, my regular job, is Edge Studios, which is computer equipment for bars and restaurants, the touchscreen point of sale. This past Sunday night was the episode of Bar Rescue that we were part of. And though we were not physically featured in it, you can see the screens. We got what was kind of a coveted thing. We got the verbal mention, the verbal accolade in the show of where the host of the show named John Taffer, who goes in and rips apart all kinds of bars and restaurants and tells them what they're doing wrong. He actually says, by the way, I brought in Edge Studios point of sale to give you efficiency, yada, yada, yada. Immediately, before the show was done being broadcast in Arizona, we already had three inquiries.
Get out.
So other inquiries have followed up. So followed suit after that. The cool thing is we are, as a company, we are actually talking to two other restaurant chains right now.
Chains.
National, not huge stuff that we're talking to,
exciting.
Which is very cool.
That's
so
great.
That's fun. Wow. That's cool. In conjunction with that Sunday, the airing of the show was also Matt Little's birthday party. So we had that at Apollo's. And I always like to give a shout out to any parent who supports their gay son or daughter. And I give it up very much to Terry and Lynn Little, Matt's parents, that drove down from New River and spent the time with us in Apollo's to celebrate their son's success. It was really, that
so
was very cool.
Cool
to me.
Oh, that's
very
nice.
Cool. Very nice. So they were there for all of that, which was fun. Other than that, it was another busy damn weekend for me. All the weekends seem to be busy. I don't know why.
It's your life. It's called your life.
It's called my life. I guess that's what it is. The other thing I want to give a shout out, I think you guys remember Dave McQueen. Dave McQueen he's been a longtime listener of us. He actually showed up in Flagstaff.
Oh, right.
He's the one who worked, I forget where he worked, but he would listen to us at work. And I don't know what he did. Unfortunately, Dave had a massive heart attack. And I just want to give a shout out to this. There is a benefit show playing on May Day. It's called May Dave at Newtown Saloon, which you guys were mentioning earlier. On October 24th of this year, Dave, a friend of the community and a supporter of many, many different causes, in addition to listening to our very show and our network, he suffered a heart attack, which has caused him to not be able to work. Mm. So as anybody in the community, if you don't have any kind of benefits, oddly, bills are going to stack up, things are going to come due that you need to have done. So they have orchestrated a show called May Dave at Newtown Saloon.
I hope it's May 1st.
I'm not. Actually, it's the 4th of May. Actually, probably Saturday, May 4th. They couldn't.
Weekend,
they couldn't hit it. But it has to be on.
They couldn't hit it.
It has to be on a Saturday for more people to be there. Several area performers are going to be there, donating their time and all their tips and money. And if you want more information about that, Dave McQueen is his name. The event is called May Dave, DAVE, at Newtown Saloon. Look that up online. I want to give a shout out to him
because he
has supported
cool
us and been in our chat room and been a listener to us for all this time. And now he needs some help. So I wanted to give a shout out to him.
And Newtown, what a cool bar is Newtown. You know, coming back from the fire and in the parade, they have I don't know who won yet the parade for the Phoenix Pride Parade.
We won't know till the gala.
But their float was crazy bananas good.
2 years
amazing,
ago,
ridiculous.
With the fire. Right.
They
fantastic.
Are like, and I just feel like Newtown is such a cool bar, and now they're hosting this event for Dave, and it's cool.
It's very cool.
It was always fun. It's really Tempe's only, it's the closest one to the college, to ASU.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And it was always the little place that you would meet everybody every September that was just new to school and pretending to be youngies. 21.
Pretending.
You had your, what was it, 8 bits for an, four bits for a beer?
Yeah, 4 bits, come on in. Sarsaparilla. Well, I'd like to say, and I'm not being callous, of when Dave, this unfortunate event happened, I hope that when the doctors broke the news to his loved ones, that it was in a beautiful oak.
Well, it could have been.
Paneled room.
I'm not sure.
Leather upholstered
plush
furniture.
Plush seats and nice pillows.
I always hope your bad news greets you in a well-appointed room.
I'm going to go with the fact that I'm assuming that Dave is doing okay, because he actually emailed me personally and asked me if I would promote that and ask that. So,
oh, that's very nice.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being out there for us. But I'm sure there's other things I'm forgetting that were wonderful my week, but right now I can't think of them.
Well, really exciting about your work.
Well, that's crazy.
And now Edge Studios is in Arizona, and then also California.
We're in San Diego, LA, mostly in Arizona. We have a couple things that are back east, but they're just for a couple other reasons. But it's very cool. It's interesting to have been. And also, one of the cool things is, we had the viewing party for Bar Rescue at Apollo's. Apollo's is the second bar, BS West being the first bar where Edge Studios actually started, Apollo's being the second. The cool thing for me was, I've known Matt for several years, but when I actually became affiliated with Edge was on the patio of Apollo's. That was the day that, for some of you who may remember, there was a tragic business...
Great brouhaha.
Brouhaha, which was a drinking word from a couple weeks ago. and I called Matt in a time of need, and it is crazy that some of your friends that you don't know, when you meet them, how they're going to affect your life. Wow. Crazy, affecting my life hugely.
Yeah.
I was hired for Edge Studios on the patio of Apollo's 4 years ago this year.
Yeah.
Oh, so thank God you could do a job interview at a bar.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a good job.
I called him and I said, I need an open bar tab because what's wrong? I said, show up and I'll tell you.
So you walked out with a job.
I walked out with a job. Yeah. And a longtime family friend or a great friend. It's a wonderful thing. It is 7:35. It's Q Talk America. It's the show with Clayton McKee. I'm here along with Katie, Al, and our special guest this week is Dion Brown. We'll be back right after this with headlines and
Kelsey,
more to come.
So far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
And now something special from your friends at QTalk America. If you're looking for an online retailer that's got one of the world's largest online and mail order selections offering the very best in gay entertainment, then your friends at QTalk America would like to recommend TLAGay.com. From gay-themed movies and adult entertainment on DVD, as well as video on demand, they also have other literature, ebooks, and all of those other things that you don't want your mom to find. TLAGay.com provides services to hundreds of thousands of customers worldwide. And now through the end of March, there's a special discount offer for all of our QTalk America listeners. Do your shopping at TLAGay.com/QTalk. Make your selections from all of the products and services they have to offer. And when you're ready to check out, use the coupon code QTalk. You'll receive an additional 10% off your order, and that's in addition to any other discounts they're already offering. It's a great deal from your friends at QTalk America and TLAGay.com. Once again, check them out at TLAGay.com. All right, here we go with headlines coming at you right now on QTalk America. It's Tuesday night. It's the show with Clayton McKee and company. We're going to talk about these things and more. Drivers alert police of a morning joyride.
Breastfeeding baby doll. Love it or hate it.
A man is arrested for mixed sex.
Stay out of relationship.
A Pennsylvania woman is cited for calling 911.
keep your newfound bisexuality to yourself.
And a recent study states that beer's taste may trigger an urge to get drunk. In related news, smelling cooking food makes you hungry. These stories and much, much more right here on Q Talk America. What do you need, Al? Food? You need something?
No, something's flashing like the dog's calling with a medical emergency.
you need to take that call, you good?
Whenever somebody has like every once in a while somebody's got that phone that goes which I think is a really inappropriate noise to have where I work.
Yeah, but of course.
So the phone goes up, I'm like, if that's not nuclear war coming or North Korea calling to say it's all over, turn it off. Fucking ringer, yeah. Because I'm like, that's an alarming little ringer.
Yes, I'm sure.
Mine has a gentle vibration that rides my inner thigh just lovingly.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Oh,
different phone.
Well, here we right, totally different.
I've seen that advertised on MTV.
Two phones.
Well, authorities say a 6-year-old Lapeer, Michigan boy seeking Chinese food took his father's car for a morning joyride. The Lapeer County Sheriff's Department says that they were alerted by other drivers who saw a youngster driving erratically Sunday morning about 60 miles north of Detroit. Doesn't everybody 60 miles north of Detroit just drive erratically? When deputies arrived, two drivers had boxed the car in, and one of them had pulled the keys from the ignition. Spokesman Sergeant Andy Inkster tells the Detroit News that the boy had no previous driving experience. No shit.
How old was he?
6. But he wanted Chinese food oddly around 7:30 in the morning. Inkster also says the boy also wanted to get the car repaired after he'd hit a sign, fearing his father would be mad at him.
A 6-year-old.
Now, the boy's father told deputies that he was asleep and had no idea his son was gone. The incident is currently under investigation.
Was the kid stoned? Is that what he wanted to do?
Or the dad.
Dad was stoned, like, honey, go get me Chinese food.
Right.
And isn't the first thing you learn about Chinese food is that it comes to your door?
It can be shipped to you. Yes.
Yeah. Every time in every city.
But not at 7:30 in the morning, you think?
Sure.
Well, I mean, we may be outside the window, but...
We'll see. Got it.
Your first question should be, where is the nearest Chinese place that delivers? I mean, that's when I moved into my house, that was my first question. How close am I to the nearest Filiberto's? And where's a good Chinese place that delivers?
Relevant.
And we found both of them.
Where's a mediocre place that delivers? Let's be honest. When you're in Chinese delivery, right. Your standards are lower.
Go ahead, Dion.
Well, this is the breastfeeding baby doll. $89 doll makes suckling noises from sensors. In
I'll do it for free. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, boy. I mean, it's a breastfeeding doll whose suckling sounds are prompted by sensors sewn into the halter of the nipples of little girls that caught some flack after hitting the U.S. market. No.
What? Where the hell was this doll from?
This story's from New York.
Oh.
Well, commentary from the always brilliant Bill O'Reilly says,
oh.
I just want the kids to be kids, on his Fox News show when he learned of the breast milk baby. And this kind of stuff, we don't need this.
So now the doll goes up to the young girl's breast and suckles.
And makes noise?
Yeah.
Because I thought, well,
it comes from Spain. Leave it to the Europeans.
I know.
De España.
A 40-year-old doll maker in Spain can't get the dolls onto mainstream shelves more than a year after introducing the line in this country.
Well, I'm sure. What do you?
It sounds like the doll comes with a halter, which is a little bit weird for like a baby girl.
Oh, so she's got to put a bra full of milk on and then hold the doll.
What I was hearing, and maybe I'm wrong, is that there is a sensor. So when the little girl has to put the halter top on, and then when she puts the doll up, then the doll, the sensor, you know, is activated, and the doll makes
right.
noises.
Okay, there's an Eat Be Cray factor here. Just that
weird.
Is so
it
I
is
hate
weird.
To go to Pig Latin immediately, but
the dolls, there's 8 dolls in all with a variety of skin tones and facial features.
Oh, good.
We need the facial features.
And at least one of the babies has sugar beaties to make it more lifelike.
Oh, boy. It's just this. They're little Savannah and Tony, Cameron and Jessica, Lil Yang and Jeremiah.
Lil Yang!
My God, how many? Like, the whole fucking family. Does Angelina Jolie know about these people?
Yeah, she'll take two.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's like, is this another Bill O'Reilly quote? Why do we need anything with bells and whistles? Well, and suckling noises. Why do we need another Betsy Wetsy? Children like toys that do things. Well, this does
well,
something.
Well, suckling is a thing. Yeah.
It's a pretty, so is
wetsy. It's a pretty serious thing.
Oh, it's somebody else who said that, not a
We don't care.
We'll give it to Bella.
So this doll makes noises. She burps. She cries. She shucks. Sucks very noisily. Big deal.
You can get that at the Flex on a Friday.
There's yeah. a picture.
And that one comes with a sling, not a...
A real sling.
Not a halter.
Not a halter. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. I don't know what else... To, Katie, you have anything? As a, were you a breastfeeding mom?
I tried. It is really a gigantic pain in the ass. And I was a like crazy
You're doing
bitch.
It wrong.
Apparently, I just need this little halter top and I'm all set.
Did the La Leche League chase you around and force you?
I went to one La Leche League meeting and there were like 8-year-olds.
Cray cray.
Like 8-year-olds breastfeeding. I mean, kids were coming up and going, mommy, mommy, boob, booby, booby, milk. And like the mom was, so the one mom's reading out of the La Leche book and she's like, and picks up the shirt.
Weird.
Boob out. And this child is standing next to her. I mean, eight is an exaggeration, but I'm talking like three years old, 4 years old. Like
when you can ask
reading,
for it,
it's time.
Yeah,
but they were
the Leche's up there with PETA. And they're both equally just.
I've
fucking
heard that the Leche leagues are kind of Moonies.
Well, and I think what happened.
I didn't realize it was a real thing. I thought I was making up a name.
I think what happened is that I had a look on my face at the first and only meeting I went to because there were some other new moms there, and they embraced the new moms and they were like, "Let me help you." I must because nobody talked to me, so I must have been sitting there like this. What the fuck? Like, I must have had that look on my
face. Yeah, they saw you coming, like,
because nobody talked. And I left
could
right
see
away.
See the look on that face.
Oh, yeah.
I,
was like,
I could even zoom in if
yeah,
we wanted to.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Well,
what the fuck is this?
Sit that kid down and give him a soda.
Yeah.
But it is. It is.
Or butter.
Breastfeeding is it's a very challenging experience, and I had a hard time with it. But. This is weird. Like, I don't know if I want my little
girl.
But
I'm all for it.
And I'm all, I'm totally for it.
Whip it out
in
a restaurant, wherever you want to do it. I don't give a shit.
I would have breastfed Palmer up to a year if I could have. I was not able to. She was starving.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't, but I would have done it. And I think it's totally natural. I get it. Four, a little much. But this is, I don't know. To me, and I'm not really a conservative, it's like prude. You know that.
Well, we know that.
But this maybe is a little weird for like my little daughter to strap on a halter and like breastfeed a baby.
Yeah.
Weird.
And you're not going to scare me with a pair of titties.
Well, speaking of strap-ons, that's a nice segue, wasn't it?
I mean, if you're at Kmart and you see this and you hear... You know, I expect it, but I don't want to go to like, you know, Dillard's.
Outside of the men's room, I don't
want to
hear that.
By all means, let's separate our breastfeeding by retail establishments.
Yeah, exactly. I want my clientele a little higher on the food chain.
I hosted a fashion show at Macy's Biltmore last week, and nobody was sucking on anything there.
Horse, you bring your best
well, so you saw.
I
know some of the models.
I was out on the floor doing my job. Thank you very much.
Some of those models are still living on breast milk. They're fitting those fucking clothes.
Well, it appears that one Happy Meal did not end with a happy ending in Albuquerque, New Mexico. KOBE-TV reports that Albuquerque, New Mexico man is facing charges after Albuquerque police say he tried to trade a meal from McDonald's for sex. Now, oddly, this caught my attention because I know in the past year of shows, this story has surfaced more than once. The gentleman named Donald Jones was arrested last week in an Albuquerque park after officers saw a woman pulling up her pants in his car. According to the criminal complaint, the 58-year-old Farmington resident picked up a woman in an area known for prostitutes, drove to a nearest McDonald's and ordered food at the drive-thru window, and then headed straight for the park. The complaint says that the woman told police that she did agree to have sex with Jones in exchange for McDonald's food. Wow, that's a lousy dollar menu. Police say also prescription narcotics were found in the car. It was unclear if Jones had an attorney.
Sure.
We did this exact same story last summer about Burger King. But
we've done it right.
Remember, it was have it your way.
I knew the story
sounded
familiar.
But the difference was it was Burger King and no prescription. There was no lawyer. But there was also no
prescription
drugs.
There's never a lawyer.
Remember, she was given hand jobs for Big Macs.
Yeah.
And she was going like window to window in the drive-thru.
Whopper.
If you're going to do it, at least do it big. Get the Big Mac. Get the supersize it.
All the gooey loot.
An apple pie. The gooey loot.
Yes.
Special sauce. Lettuce cheese.
There you go. Dion, back to
Let
you.
Let us alone. We're dressing.
Oh, bad pun. There we go. What you got?
Okay. Dear Abby.
Oh. I never thought to steal from her.
Oh, it's a gold mine. My niece is engaged to a really nice guy who is obviously gay.
Is this Liza Minnelli?
And in denial because of his religion, my brother and his wife ignore it because, according to them, being gay is a sin. I had a gathering at my home and some gay friends attended. They noticed that he was gay and mentioned it to me. Should I just stand by and keep my mouth shut? Signed, unsure in New Jersey.
Oh, what is this?
That's the only person in New Jersey who's unsure. We found her. She wrote it.
What is the answer from
Abby
this?
Says, Abigail? Dear unsure. Yes, you should. Unless you are 100% sure the man is, in fact, gay, you should keep your feelings to yourself. Nice woman, okay. Abby.
Yeah, that's because you never know when you're dealing with. Remember that unfortunate Saturday Night Live character, the effeminate heterosexual? Well,
yeah.
What if it's him? What if he just likes Broadway shows and Mary Tyler Moore? I mean, we don't know.
And Kelly thinks that everyone is gay. Literally looks at anyone and like, gay, they're gay, they're gay. They're not all gay.
Yeah.
So you could
I think
just
Kelly's
be,
bias a little bit, it seems like.
Slightly. Yeah. And I think she just wants the whole wide world.
Could be.
Yeah.
To be gay, maybe.
Could be. Is that it for Abby's response?
That's
short and sweet. For her, you know, we're not mad. Let's move on to Girard, Pennsylvania. Police have cited a 42-year-old Pennsylvania woman for disorderly conduct after she called 911 requesting a divorce.
Awesome.
And also police assistance to remove remove her husband from her home. Troopers say a woman called just after 1 a.m. on Saturday. Nobody was drinking. asking that officers be sent to her home in the Girard Township in northern Pennsylvania. Police say they explained to the woman, whom they are not identifying in this report, that a divorce is a civil matter and that they could not make her husband leave the residence because actually no crime had been committed at all. Instead, police have cited her for disorderly conduct and misusing the Erie County 911 system.
That's perfect.
It doesn't even say anything about our attorney. So I don't know.
I bet that bitch doesn't have one. I'm betting.
Was it a Phoenix? Was it the Phoenix mayor's wife? Who was it they used to call 911 for directions?
Oh, you're right.
Scottsdale.
Sam Campana, wasn't it? Who?
Yeah.
No. It was the mayor of Scottsdale.
Sam Campana.
Right, the mayor, not the...
She used to call and ask for directions. Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
I was a fan of hers.
She did. I remember because Beth and Bill used to make fun of her all the time. Well, reports again, she's lost. And then she called.
And they would always have the tape. The best part was the dumb bitch never realized
she was recording.
They record all 911 tapes.
I'm near Fashion Square. How do I get to blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, they
that
recorded.
Is crazy.
How do I get to Demons from Nordstrom?
Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm on level 3 of Scottsdale Mall.
Right. There is that little 5-block corridor where you're in the old town Scottsdale that gets a little twisty-turny.
Yeah.
But it's giant open roads. Just figure it out. It's named after a tree or follow the setting sun. Like, adult.
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
I can substitute that for the offensive one.
Adult.
This one is one of my favorites.
Okay. Are we again pulling from Dear Abby?
Again, Dear Abby.
Okay.
This one is titled, A Son's Odd Behavior. Sounds like a Miss Marple.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
I date myself. Nobody else will.
Dear Abby.
I am the single dad of two. This is like from something from Shishi LaRue, Rascal video.
Okay.
It's actually Dear Abby.
All right.
Two teenage boys, 17 and 18, who are both in high school. I'm wondering about something they do with their friends. The boys take showers in large groups when they come home from running or sports.
Do we have an address?
Or if a group is spending the night, they shower in groups of two, three, or four. How big is this shower?
I want to know. Right.
Well, I hope it's not big at all.
It's not like we have a huge shower. It's normal size. Okay. I know there's nothing sexual going on because I can hear them talking and joking around. He's up there next to the door with a
camera.
Or a camera. What's the dateline on this story, by the way? Flip that around. What's the dateline you got? Because Abby's been dead a while.
Yeah. Oh, there's been someone writing as her for a long time.
Her daughter was, yeah, her right. Daughter.
I know there's something going on because I hear them talking. When I asked the boys about this, they looked at me like I had two heads.
Okay. Yeah.
They did too.
They said it was just a social thing, the same as showering together after football in the school gym. They also, quote unquote, air dry after showers by walking around in towels. While I'm glad they're comfortable with their bodies and who they are, it still bothers me somewhat. Am I being a prude thinking this is an unusual or inappropriate? Signed, Stumpton, Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Well,
Kentucky, there's a problem right
there. A lot of stumping going on.
I'm my own grandpa.
Yeah.
And in nearby states. Well, yeah. Stumping all over the South.
Now, this response ought to be priceless.
Dear Stumped, I see nothing inappropriate about your sons and what their friends are doing, nor do I want you to label you a prude. You're just not as comfortable in your skin as your sons and their quote-unquote jock friends are. Is it possible
she made it dirty right there.
Is it possible that they take after their mother?
It's possible.
Not sure what that means.
It's also possible that they're diddling each other.
Well, I like to think.
Wait, what did that last sentence even mean?
I don't get it either.
Like women take showers in herds too?
In herds?
As a woman.
That they're maybe they're.
And women like to run around, you know.
I mean, I like to do that, but I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
So
I like to shower.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I mean, my thing is usually like when you're looking at something and you're finding it dirty, it's usually your mind that's
your
making
problem,
it dirty.
Right.
Like,
yeah, but I don't know. If a bunch of teenage boys are like showering with each
other. Oh, they're 17 and 18. Come on, you're jacking off.
Like, yes.
And you can still talk about sports while you're shooting it at the shower.
The boys in like I can we carry had on some a dirty birds at my high school.
I lose
like,
my breath.
Some dirty birds who were really open and we talked about it all the time. And they used to talk about that they did that. That was like a normal that was like a thing that they did. That like circle jerking was like a real thing that all the boys did.
The occasional
did.
Daisy chain.
Stories I used to beg to be invited.
Yeah.
But I know. I'm always bitter that I was never asked to be part of those. You know what I mean?
I always had like the kid who was in the poetry club ask me to come over and, you know.
I would ask people to come over and listen to Last Dance in my basement and watch me like sing along and lose my mind. Like,
and that's why they didn't want to touch you.
But this is like something from like BrokeStraightBoys.com or something.
Yeah. 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 Oh, it really is.
But the fact
that I was going to let you volunteer the website because
a
woman to know
in
that.
My head, and the end result of that is she witnessed the birth of Grindr, and is what that woman had done.
Yeah,
that app. She saw all that. I'm gonna involve you. I think this headline story. Well, we may go over. We're not sure. Does it really matter? A recent study states that beer taste may trigger the urge to get drunk. Just as the smell of freshly brewed coffee may compel you to pour a steaming cup of Java, a small taste of beer may activate a part of your brain's reward system. It's called reward and trigger.
I have a rewards program in my brain.
Yes.
Does it result in free hotel nights?
And urge you for more Java. Researchers have discovered that sensory cues associated with drinking may stimulate certain parts of the brain and cause a craving for yet more alcohol, giving people a very small amount of a brand of beer or a liquor that they that they like or that they frequently consume produced a desire to drink what is correlated with the release of dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter that helps control the brain's reward and pleasure centers. The study also showed that the amount of dopamine released was greater in those who had parents who were siblings who were victims of alcoholism.
Yeah, I mean, they say it's hereditary, so you need to go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's really about it. I just thought that was interesting. They needed a study to figure out that if you taste beer, you want more. Duh.
Well, the part I like about it is that they talk about like of a brand they like, where it's like, okay, here's a can of Brown Derby for you.
Yeah,
and for you. We have a lovely
Stella Artois, her name is.
Yeah. That's sort of like, well, yeah, if you're going to get like the nasty skunky beer, you're going to go, yeah, I want. But you know, you will just like, well, I'll drink it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get
fucked up. Because if you want a buzz, every you want a buzz. Yeah.
I mean, I used, you know, smoking cigarettes. Like, oh, I hate menthols, but I really like a cigarette, so I don't care whatever you got.
And I know, I've seen a lot of people like that. Oh, it's a menthol? You know, I'll smoke it anyway. No.
If it's like Richard and Wilson, Benson and Hedges, Deluxe Ultralight Menthol.
Oh, wow. knows that too.
If I sold it to you, I remember
that isn't even really smoking. That isn't even really smoking. It's like breathing deeply in a warm room.
we're doing that now.
Mixed vapor rub somewhere.
You know, bust the filters off of that thing so you can actually.
Exactly. Oh, God, that's so much better. Go ahead, Mr. Brown. You got another story for us?
Keep your newfound bisexuality to yourself.
Oh, I think all people should do that.
Yeah.
I know.
Call
it.
Us when you're gay.
I know. Bisexuality, I mean, it's the hula hoop of the new millennium for some people.
Really?
Oh, look at me. I'm so cool.
I can sleep with everybody.
It's a way station on the long train ride to gay. So it's always when you get there.
Dear Abby, after years of denial, dear Abby, once again.
Once again. Abigail Van Buren, ladies and gentlemen.
After years of denial, I've come to the realization that I am bisexual. I'm happily married to a straight man, and we have a great marriage, and I wouldn't change this for the world. He is my soulmate. I just have to be physically attracted to women, too. Some people say I can't be bisexual if I've never been with a woman. I say they're wrong. Mm. Am I correct?
Dun, dun, dun.
So she wrote to Dear Abby to find out if she's bisexual.
Oh, and she also expands upon this and saying, should I post this on social media?
Oh, my God.
I think I'm bi. Can
Air
I try to
laundry
lick?
There.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to do with my revelation. I've pondered it for some time. And you know what happens when you start pondering?
Yeah.
You need a towel.
You end up on grinder.
I felt I could trust you to give me some tactful, unbiased advice.
Oh.
And the rest of America now, too.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, just you.
Bye in the deep south.
That was her signature.
Oh, bye in the deep south.
Dear bye.
Dear B-I-T-D-S. Bisexuality is having and attracting people of both sexes. And yes, it is possible to be bisexual without having acted upon it. Thank God for Dear Abby. Thank God for that. Everybody else who studied this for centuries.
Relax.
The answer is
right here.
Abby's got it.
Abby's got it.
Under a pseudonym.
Unless you're promiscuous, you are not, capital letters, available. Many married people agree to be committed. They certainly should be committed. If you choose to confide your diverse sexual orientation to your close friends, that's your business. But if you do, please remember that once two people know something, there's a strong likelihood of the news spreading faster than the flu.
Okay.
P.S. If you do decide to divulge, be sure to tell your husband first.
Yeah, that's strong advice. Like, if you don't want anyone to know, then don't tell anyone.
It's like the old Mark Twain thing, a secret is better kept if one person is dead.
Yeah, right.
No, absolutely.
I'll tell you this, but there you go. We're going to take the kill shot afterwards.
Certainly.
Like
sorry, Heather.
Honey, I was logging on to Facebook today, and
guess what?
I saw a change in relationship status.
Exactly. Why are we complicated? Yeah.
What's a lickalotopus?
Yeah.
Is that a new animal at the zoo?
Yeah. Is that from Jurassic Park 3?
3D. We're running just a little over on this, but I want to get this last story in, and it kind of ties in with our horrible run at the Dr. Drew's Death Den.
It's a tough game. I
and
told
people,
you guys.
People of a certain age will understand this. Today we lost a broadcaster from the NFL, a spokesperson, a gentleman by the name of Pat Summerall, died at the age of 82. He was the Giants' outstanding place kicker who went on to team up with John Madden. All of you know who John Madden is.
I wish I didn't.
He was on the air for 21 seasons with John and network television's most prominent NFL broadcast twosome. He died today in Dallas. He was 82. A family spokesperson, Valerie Bell, said that Summerall had been at Zale Lipsy University Hospital since Thursday, where he had apparently fallen and broken his hip.
Never ends well.
He was on the hips never end about that. She said he was undergoing rehabilitation at the hospital and then experienced a sudden cardiac arrest. Going back on December. In 1958, Summerall kicked a 49-yard field goal in a snowstorm. I'm apparently loaded up at this point at Yankee Stadium, and he gave the Giants a 13-10 victory over the Cleveland Browns. The big thing is to me, and these are the reason I brought this up for you all. And I realize that so many people listen have no idea by name who Pat Summerall is. He's one of those voices that's been around your entire life. You had no idea who he was, but. I'm going to get to a question in a minute for the panel, and I want to play this little audio clip of Pat Summerall first, just so that you can understand what, if you recognize this voice, then you'll understand a little bit more about what I'm talking about.
The Imperial Folding Handyman performs hundreds of useful functions with 9 carbon steel tools, and it fits right in your pocket. During June, it's just $4.99 while supplies last. Look for the True Value of the Month banner at participating True Value hardware stores and home center.
And tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
So it's a voice that we all have grown up with. We've all known
Katie
that.
Katie didn't grow up with that voice.
Katie didn't, but he was. Yeah, well, he's been around for ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Pat Summerall was one of those voices that, to me, was I always aspired to be. I always wanted to be that person. So what I wanted to propose to you as a panel was, is there a voice, is there somebody who was a spokesperson from your childhood or even your adulthood who you lended credibility to? Now, obviously, all these things are going to be like Walter Cronkite, Tom Brokaw. Some of those people who were always in your living room.
I went somewhere completely different.
Okay. And that's fine.
Now, are you talking really about voices or just or personas even?
Either way. I'm just looking at it because he was one of those people. You saw him on television. You heard the voice. It was always, to me, his voice was always just a very soothing, warming. It lended credibility to him.
Right.
To me, just like the Paul Harveys of the world. Oh, I was. It was the same way. So I just was curious before we go to our crossover break. I was curious to know, are there voices of your childhood that meant something to you?
Ed McMahon or
good point. Very good point.
Rod Rodney from The Price.
Oh, The Price is Right. Come on down.
Because you never really and Don Pardo from Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Because he's still alive.
Right.
But that voice of Saturday Night Live never changes.
Gary Owens from The Laugh-In. Yeah. Gary Owens was the announcer for Laugh-In.
Oh, but definitely Don Pardo and it's so funny, like when you go to the casinos and they have the Price is Right game, and even though he's long dead from breast cancer, Rod Rodney, like they still have his voice because he is the real voice of the Price is Right.
Right. He
like,
was between Bob Barker and him.
He's it.
Yeah. Dion?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Paul Harvey because I actually met him once.
Oh, you did?
I worked in retail and this man came up to me and was like, "Young man, could you tell me how much this item costs?"
And just with his stand.
And I said, he was very charming. I said, "Do I know you? You seem so familiar." And he said, "No, I've never met you before."
And that's the rest of my life.
And so he bought something, and I saw his credit card. And I said, "I know you very, very well." And I associated him with being a child getting up very early for school. And my father kept a radio on top of the icebox. Refrigerator.
Oh, Jesus Christ. How old are you?
Icebox. Right? I love it.
On top of the fridge, just a little tiny radio. And I can still see my dad. I'd like be there eating my cold cereal and Pop-Tarts. It was very tragic. And, you know, and my dad, you know, sipping his coffee and him listening to Paul Harvey and laughing. And I hated Paul Harvey. Well, I mean, as a little kid,
it made no sense.
Right. You know, these pregnant pauses and these, just hear him saying that's the rest of the story, you know, about somebody plowing a field, Abraham Lincoln walking 5 miles in the snow to return a book. But, you know, as I grew up, you know, it was a very, very comforting memory. And then when I met him,
that's so neat.
Yeah. I told him, I said, "I'd like to be able to tell you." I said, "How many mornings I spent with my father listening to you on the radio while I was getting ready for school?" And he's like, "Well, that's a wonderful story, young man. Is your father still with us?" And I say, you know, he spoke in these resonant, well-modulated, pear-shaped tones.
Yeah.
Like Paul Harvey. And, you know, and he was, and it was really a special, you know, it brought back that feeling. Yeah.
My parents used to listen, they would listen to the radio in the morning while we were getting ready, and they would break with war songs, which I don't know if it was just that channel or that's why my parents liked it so much, but it was always Anchors Away and like, so, I mean, you really would. By the time you're finished with breakfast, you're like, what's a stirring little anthem? I don't know whether to invade the school or just go there.
My father, you know, he'd laugh. That Paul Harvey.
So, I mean, it could have been Paul Harvey I was listening to, but I would always wait for the music. Like, oh, my God, please let there be a music break or whatever it is we're listening to.
That's so Al.
Absolutely.
That's so Al.
But, you know, even like John Cameron Swayze, you know, even.
That's a good one.
Time
I forgot
Together
about him.
Timex.
And again, good dead or alive, because I thought Pat Summerall died ages ago. I figured he just died from having to listen to John fucking Madden talk in that booth.
Now, Kate,
I thought you were going to say that he slipped on a 10-penny nail in a hardware store and broke it.
No, true guy who had nothing to do with his death.
Yeah, Katie, now, obviously, nail. How old are you?
Obviously, coming from a younger generation,
it is, and I know you already said it, but it is so Tom Brokaw. And I think I've mentioned on the show before that I'm just, like, completely in love with him.
You know, the other person that I thought of, and it would be, I think, a little more in line with you, maybe I'm off on this, Susan Ellerbee. Remember Susan Ellerbee from NBC?
Yeah, yeah.
She had cancer, and she then came back in Nickelodeon.
Kids. She just
I don't know her.
Did we do a death segment on her recently, or was that Nickelodeon?
Nickelodeon may have died, but I don't think Susan Ellerbee has.
But Jane Pauley was, like, my mom listened to her in the mornings, you know. But Tom Brokaw was it, and I think I've said before that I would come home from school, and I would... You know, my mom would be, you know, my mom would come home and she would be making dinner, and my dad would come home and fix himself a scotch and sit there, and they'd have the little black and white TV in the kitchen.
How old are you?
Was it on the ice box?
It was. We actually had an ice box, but stored the china in it. It was like an old ice box. But, and then, you know, and they would be making dinner, and that was just the sound of, like, the jingle of the nightly NBC Nightly News and Tom Brokaw's voice, and I love him.
It was comforting.
I still watch Brian Williams now. And I love him. It's just not the same for me.
Yeah.
But I think about when I tell Palmer, time for the news, and she goes, news. And I wonder if at some point she'll...
At some point we're going to bring in here for a segment of news. That'll be fun
think
for us.
The same thing. Yeah. You know, the other thing, and actually the first person that I thought of when you played that, and I looked up to recall, is Billy Mays. And that was not someone that was, like, comforting to me in my childhood, necessarily.
Isn't he the guy that pushed...
He was the OxyClean
guy.
But he expanded his portfolio before he died very, like, instantly.
Oh, he died right around Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah, he died from a coke overdose.
When people were always searching for the threes... Like, the people die in threes, and it was, like, Farrah Fawcett. And they were like him, and I'm like, he's not really a celebrity.
Yeah. But he was the guy that, like, when you played that commercial, he was, like, my infomercial.
He was the seller guy
and Ron Popeil.
Got it.
Another voice that I remember is E.G. Marshall. He had another...
Oh, I love his voice.
I love E.G. Marshall.
That's a game of how old is he? How old are we?
Well,
I'm a lickopotamus.
I have a tiny blast from the past for you, Dion. Are you ready?
Oh my gosh.
And now, the rest of the story.
It is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. We are running really late, but we're doing good. We are in studio. It's Q-Talk America. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That is me. Thank you for being here. I'm in studio with our friends Katie June, Al Perkins, and our special guest, Dion Brown, is with us this week.
Yay!
It's a Grand Torino.
It's a Grand Canal.
Yeah, it's a Grand Canal, Christina. Coming up in just mere moments, we have an entertainment segment. Our drinking word is going to be revealed by the one and only Mr. Al Perkins. I'm going to go to Studio A and make a beverage and get a little Greek yogurt. I may have to stop at the restroom, but I'm not sure yet. We haven't decided.
You know your mic is on, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, just want to check it.
We're alive.
All right, we are coming back in this
moment. And now, inner monologue with Clayton McKee.
We'll be back right after this on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening once again. That's just about 11 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. It's a Tuesday night. You're in the studio with us, the show on Q-Talk America. My name is Clayton McKee. Thank you for being here. We're running a little tardy, but fuck it. It's our show. We don't care. Next caller. See, Dion, I knew you'd figure we got to think about the bells. He was worried about what the bells were for. He goes, well, when do I ring it? I'm like, You'll know.
Well, long John Silver's like, ring bell for good service if you receive good service.
Yeah, well.
I'm still waiting for that to happen.
You're not going to get that here at all. It is a Tuesday night. We do this every Tuesday from 7 to 10 o'clock right here, Arizona time. Thank you for being with us. It's Katie June, Al Perkins. This week we've have given Marnie Ryer the weekend or the week off. She is celebrating her 2-year anniversary with her girlfriend Erin.
Congratulations. Yay. That's very exciting.
I love Erin.
I'm celebrating 12 years of being single. But anyway,
we love Erin.
Filling in Marnie's place this week is Dion Brown. Let's hear it for Dion. Hello. He's the gentleman in the red shirt with the teal collar.
And it's a thrill to be here with all of you.
I love that you had to breastfeed first. Let me get the suckling started.
You ain't over till the suckling's finished.
Till everyone's had their dose.
Oh, coming up this hour, we are going to get into a little bit of entertainment headlines, and also in just moments, Al is going to reveal our drinking word for tonight's show. I have no idea what it is, but he certainly loved brouhaha from a couple weeks ago.
Oh, but last week was so hard between gooey loot and brouhaha. It was an embarrassment of riches last week.
Embarrassment of riches. I think you're stepping up your vocal talents because Dion's in the house with us. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. It's time for our... Oh, I got to goddamn do this shit. There we go. And it's time for our drinking disclaimer right here on Q-Talk America because, well, that's what we do.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, in honor of Dion, one of my favorite phrases that he uses, and I probably mispronounce it because I love to say it with a southern accent, is Kelsey Priest.
What is that? I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, I'm going to need a real quick refresher on that.
Kelsey Priest.
Help us out. And I don't know why that I go to like Lucy from Dallas when I say it, but it always comes out like that.
How funny.
Say it correctly, because I only speak Lancome French.
Quelle surprise.
All right, and what does it mean exactly?
What is the prize?
Oh my God, perfect.
Okay, so give us the alternatives that we can use. Anything with a surprise in it?
Yeah, surprise is fine. But I'd like
say
it
again,
better.
So I'm ready.
Go ahead, Dion.
Quelle surprise.
Quelle surprise.
I'm going to write that with a little line over the E.
Because Dion and our dear friend David Van Vierden used to write the column, or a version of the column that started 1,000 years ago.
The U Report?
Peppered with little Frenchy.
Little Lancome French phrases.
I
kind of got chewed out that, an eye on the Slings and Arrows.
Oh, Kelly read something from that. Is it the back? The outrageous.
No,
Slings and Arrows is the at the very back.
Oh, okay, because yeah. Kelly actually thinks that that's real.
Actually,
and, like, she tells me weekly.
Oh, the outrageous
news. Or every month, she goes, yeah, the outrageous news. Every month, she's like, how gullible shit,
is
did
Kelly?
You see? She goes, did you see this? And I'm like, I'm listening. And I go, what are you reading again? Because it's when I bring home the Ion and the Echo. And I go, what is that? She's like, it's in Ion. And I'm like, yeah, run well, with that. Tell other people.
For example, one of them was that Britney Spears took over Dear Abby's column.
Oh, my God.
Column.
It's everything. She really, I hear frequently, did you know? And I'm like, oh, what are you reading?
No,
babe?
It's not true. It's not
there
true.
There was one instance of, I wrote this, for the listeners who don't know, there is this section of a local magazine called Outrageous News. It's styled after these tabloid news articles. That
like alien baby found in gutter.
Yeah, you know, corpse of woman gives birth to triplets. Right.
Each story a delight.
It's very good.
I wrote one story that was called, like, North Scottsdale to open $99.99 only store. Where they would be selling, they were going to be selling, you know, you know, Petrosian caviar and Perrier Jouet and iPhones and La Mer for $99.99.
Kelly probably wanted to go there. She was like, shit, this is opening in March. We are going.
Seems legit.
We got a call at the office. Hi, I want to know, like, what the address of the $99
$99. Oh, my God.
Because that's in my price point.
There was also one when Scottsdale was, like, the city of Scottsdale was, like, really knuckling down on drunk driving that I rewrote that they were going to be arresting drunk passengers. There's a woman who called up mad as a wet hen. This is not funny. I called the city of Scottsdale.
Oh, no!
They knew nothing about this. And this is
an outrage.
An outrage.
Up with which I shall not put.
It's back to the perfume counter for her.
Yep.
One of the funniest things, there was a show in New York called City of Angels that I annoyed everyone to the breaking point. Like, Renee and Doug were ready to kill me. Anybody that knew me was ready to kill me. And finally, I went and got to see it. Like, I was forcing people into my car to listen to the cast album. And I came back and trapped this poor soul in Newtown or something and just went on and on about it. And he wrote it up in the column as if it, like, he was there and, like, gave me some alpha. I can't remember, like, what are the big diamonds called? What's the word for that? The print. Oh, Harlequin
print?
Harlequin. I was in a Harlequin. She was resplendent in a Harlequin print shirt. And she walked to her seat. And he completely, it was so funny, completely mocked me and, like, made me pay for a month of people reading it. They're like, shut the fuck up about this show.
And that was in the outrageous news or in the Slings and Arrows?
No, it was in, like, the Slings and Arrows, far
earlier than Slings
and Arrows. I'm trying to think if you just wrote it up and just handed if David was still writing it then, but just gave it to him and was like, print this and shut her
that
up.
That is fantastic.
Yes.
But it was all done with love.
Yeah. Oh, God, my God.
All right. It is 20. We are, wow.
But Kel Supreme, Kel Supreme, she is resplendent in a Harlequin print.
Kel Supreme.
It has stuck, and I've always pronounced that with a southern.
Kel Supreme.
It is 8:20. It's a Tuesday night. You're in the studio with the show, and here we go.
We start off with an update on Lance Kerwin because Dion wanted to know where he'd been. We review the movie 42, the new Broadway show, something Motown. Brooke Shields is going to be directing Chicago at the Hollywood Bowl, so I guess she can do that too. Pitch Perfect gets a sequel, and I think I'm done.
What's the sequel called? Pitch Okay?
Pitch, yeah. It's called Relative Pitch.
A little pitchy dog.
Off pitch.
Off pitch. Slightly. So Lance Kerwin lives on the L.A. drug and alcohol ranch called U-Turn for Christ and has a six-year-old daughter. This was as of 2000. He's recently embarked on a missionary trip, and he is clean and sober through the 90s in his newfound religious beliefs, updated again in 2004. After many check-ins and out of rehab for drugs or alcohol problems during his teens and 20s, he's finally clean and sober. Most recently, he's newly converted Christian as of May 2004 and is an indoctrinated new priest minister. We update in July 2010. In Hawaii, placed on 5 years probation after pleading guilty to a theft charge, he falsified documents to obtain state medical assistance and food stamps, neglecting to mention he owned 3 properties on the mainland or that he was an ordained minister.
Can I get a big bless your heart?
Can I get a big who is Lance Kerwin?
It doesn't matter. It's just like this really obscure 70s star that he brought up today. And he was like, I wonder what he's up to.
He was kind of the male Molly Ringwald of his time on television.
Sure.
A teenager with a lot of angst.
Got it.
A lot of angst.
And he was Molly Ringwald.
He was on a show called James at 15, and then it was James at 16. They kept changing the age every year.
When it was James at 24. Lance at 24.
And then he was on drugs.
Lance finds God and still a thief. And Pitch Perfect gets a sequel. It's scheduled for, and now I lost that headline. It is scheduled for 2014. This is definitely the little movie that could. Pitch Perfect was made for almost no money. Anna Kendrick, who's turning into she's got an Oscar nomination. She's one of the youngest Tony nominees ever. For her, she was in the musical version of High Society back in the 90s. Just a really talented girl, and made this movie for no money that went on and made a huge amount of money. The soundtrack is sold. It's like the Glee of the movies, where like the merchandising kind of justified everything. And I guess the DVDs had great sales, so they greenlit. And it was one of my favorites from last year. I thought it was a really, really...
One of your faves?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was one of those movies that should have at least... I thought it was just as good as Bridesmaids was. I thought if Bridesmaids couldn't get that much acclaim, so should Pitch Perfect.
You know, I just did not enjoy Pitch Perfect as much.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I love... And it's bizarre because, like you're saying, the Glee and the Smash and the whole thing. And I love theater and I love singing and I love choir music. And but I just... I didn't laugh as much as I did. I didn't, like... When I went, that movie just didn't make me laugh.
Oh, see, now I was in a theater full of people. Like, it was like one of those things where everybody was laughing, so you got to kind of get caught up in it.
Yes, I do. Like, and maybe I had, you know, and it varies, right? Your movie going experience varies based on where you are and
when you go.
And I didn't go right when it came out. I went to Bridesmaids like right when it came out, and I was like pissing my pants on the floor laughing.
And the audience is helping you because I saw Horrible Bosses with the crowd that was really laughing and kind of like amping up the mood. And then I saw Horrible Bosses without the crowd, and I'm like,
It's not that funny. I saw it at home, and it was funny. It really does kind of depend on the mood
and who
you're
with. I
saw it with like 10 people in the theater, and I just kind of went.
But I really did love the music, and I'm a big fan of her voice.
It was Kale Supreme.
I don't want to drink, but I will. Kale Supreme. 42 opened this week, and
oh my god, desperate. I was about to say, don't give it away. I'm pretty sure I know how it goes.
He's black.
It's a black movie. It's the sequel to 41.
It is. 42, this time it's personal.
The prequel to 43.
Now, what? Electric Boogaloo? What does Buddy always call the sequels?
Sounds right.
42, Electric Boogaloo. But now that sounds really racist. Now that I filter that through my head.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
So, I know it's too early for Oscar chat, but it really isn't. I don't know how they...
Not for you.
I don't know if this movie was delayed or, like, if this was like The Gatsby, where they wanted to, like, swing it a little bit later. Like, we don't know why Gatsby moved out of Oscar contention and into May. Like, do they think it's going to be more of a summer blockbuster, or do they want to get it out of the way of the people that were already, like, the nominees were too locked down to throw one more movie in? We're never sure. Like, is it a disaster? What's going on? And 42 is the same thing. This is the dumping ground of movies. Like, April, the only reason I can think of is because April 15th, yesterday, is Jackie Robinson's day. Like, all the players in the National Baseball League all wear the number 42
right?
on this day, because it's the anniversary of him joining the league. So I wasn't sure if that weekend was significant and when they release it, but really well done.
So you're saying this is the dumping ground that nobody releases movies in
right,
April.
It's like early September. Like, there's no Memorial
no
weekend is the weekend after Memorial. Late August, Memorial weekend, you'll get like a big blockbuster that's usually about a car that turns into a robot and kills people. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Michael Bay.
It'll be Michael Bay's weekend. Nope. And then you'll get a dumping ground on either side because they need to find out what happens at the Toronto Film Festival. Like, that's the next weekend. So this is a really shitty time, because if this is an Oscar contender, you've got 9 months. Yeah. And it's going
to
be on video.
For people to forget about it.
It's going
to
be on video in August, which is going to take it out of that realm. Like, it's just the timing is poor.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's phenomenal.
I cannot wait. And I love the MIA song that they keep playing in all the previews, that "We girls, we go hard, we go hard." It's like this great song that just gets me riled up when I hear it. And I'm just like so freaking excited for it.
It's really well. I don't know what that song would have to do with the movie, but yeah.
But they play it in all the previews, and it's very
a surprise.
I know.
It's
the building up of it's the music behind it. So lyrically, not probably like,
no, but,
right
but
on
it might
point,
it might it might be that serve the job of getting people interested in the movie who might think, what the hell is this about?
Like, skewing younger.
Because
skewing
the first time I saw the preview months ago, I was stoked from the get-go because of that song. Because I love that. I love that artist.
This is
song.
Nowhere 42? In this movie.
This is for 42. Yeah,
about
it's in
Major
the
League Major League Baseball?
Mm-hmm. Or baseball, depending on what you're...
Baseball. Yes, yes.
That's how people are expecting us to pronounce it.
Kale Supreme.
Wow, that was a lot of spit.
So we're the girls who go hard for Major League Baseball. I would have figured that would have been for A League of Our Own.
I know. Yeah, and it might just be like the...
No, it really is to get someone to pay attention.
Because if you've seen the preview, you know the...
I actually had not.
It's the song is just... It just... sucks you in. And you go, and oh my God. And, well, that, and that makes intense. Sense. Yeah.
Because this is one of those movies, like a biopic here in April, like.
With the suckling noise?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like a biopic in mid-April, because I always like to see, like, when I go to Camelview and I see a foreign film, I'm always excited because those trailers are going to all be like Marnie saying, what the hell is this? Because mm-hmm. that's how you're going to see five previews. They're going to, like, if you go see a horror movie, your previews are going to be horror
Scary.
Movies. If you're going to go see a comic book movie, Comedy. Your previews will be right. for teenage boys. They may not all be comic books, but your previews are designed to hit who's in the theater already.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to show you Atonement.
Shit you're not
you know
going to
I mean?
Watch, yeah.
Or Amour is not going to all of a sudden play during Scary Movie 4. That's right. not the preview you're seeing.
Right.
So you'll just, you know what I mean? So it was weird. But anyways, we're off
wait.
The topic. The movie is phenomenal. So well done. Phenomenal maybe
the
too
story
big. Maybe
is,
it's too much liquor.
But no. The story is phenomenal.
Oh, the story is
phenomenal.
The story is,
and so the movie is got to be just incredible.
And they, it's just head on. Like, we don't dodge around it. And he suffers from the sainthood that all movie heroes do. Like, we can't give him any kind of, there's no shading to his character at all. Like, he's not a saint. Like,
is it like a Ray, like in the movie where everyone's like, Ray is
funny,
so great.
Huh?
Did you make
almost,
a funny?
I came really close. This close, but it's. I mean, it lacks that. Like, come on, this guy wasn't a saint. We can get some part of this, but the fact that no fighting back, no arguing against it was that very pacifist.
God, I can't
anything,
wait.
And it was. It just drives it home that if. Even though it's everyone screaming at you, the first thing you say, they'll be like, he attacked. Like, mm-hmm. you will instantly be the attacker. And nominations, I don't know how it'll do as far as winning. We have no idea what's coming up. But I got to tell you, Harrison Ford's Oscar is signed, sealed, and delivered. Like,
that's what I've already heard.
I didn't even realize, in the preview I saw, I didn't even realize it was him.
And it is, it's a star turn from a man who really does not need a star turn. Like, it's...
I feel like, well, and when
and
I...
Buddy,
when I,
and Buddy said that he's heard from people that knew of the character that it was spot on.
I think that's where I... heard my yeah. like mm-hmm. my like very credible source was Buddy on Facebook saying
what is,
that
what is Harrison Ford who is he's on Jackie Robinson
no yes, in a star turn
that would be
just
a star
that
turn all right
he plays Dorothy Dandridge and Jackie Robinson no he is the Dodgers
is
owner
it the owner coach
the owner yeah. That just decides, and he gets a nice little turn. He gets his Oscar-worthy moment at the end where he finally gets confronted, like, why did you do this? Like, why are you putting me through this? And Harrison Ford gets and it's Brian Helgeard, I think is his name, that did L.A. Confidential. So he's owed an Oscar. This man's owed an Oscar because this L.A. Confidential is the only movie to sweep every critics award and then lose to Titanic. Like that's the only movie in
Wait,
history
what is?
That... L.A. Confidential. It won because Titanic got released so late in the year that only the Golden Globes caught onto it. So it had won nothing. L.A. Confidential is the only movie to win every major critics prize up to the day and then not win Best Picture. So they kind of owe him. I think he might have got a screenplay Oscar for L.A. Confidential. But it's so well done. And they just confront the race. They just put the camera on the racism and make it uncomfortable. Like, you just have to watch... Racists react. And I'm hoping that, like, to tie it into, like, the gay marriage thing, like, now when people are saying thing and they're throwing that Bible at you, it was the same, like, there is
it's
no
the same
difference.
Fight.
So you hope that people go see this and go, oh my God, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm justifying right. hateful speech. And I'm just...
God, I hope so.
And you really do tie it together. Because there's parts of that where people are just saying the most... And they're supposed to be teammates. And these are supporters that are just saying the most horrible things. But it was... The guy that played him, whose name I don't know, phenomenal. His wife is really, really good. And the one that might get a nod, he's on Suburgatory. His name is Alan Tudyk. Just a tough part. I mean,
who's on Suburgatory? Because I know Suburgatory.
Jeremy Sisto. It's Jeremy Sisto's best friend.
Oh, the blonde
this
guy.
This is one of those parts that you would have to read it and be like, can I not do this? Like, is there any way for
really?
Me to not be associated? Because
it's pretty
You
it's
could
pretty
see
bad.
People, like, spitting on him in the street. And even Whoopi Goldberg in one of the things was like, just please remember if you see this man on the street, this is a character. He's an actor. Like, do not react to
it. Oh, my God,
I
just want to see it.
Because, but, I mean, it's a good 7 minutes of the movie where you're just like, oh, can we fast
so
forward?
So uncomfortable. I want to make a really quick note. It's not Hey Girls, We Go Hard. It's actually Brooklyn. So it makes a little bit
All
more
right,
sense.
That's a
Brooklyn,
little
We Go Hard.
Brooklyn, We Go
so
Hard.
That my apologies on
I'm
the
back.
Lyrics.
I'm back.
Yep.
Brooke Shields, the woman who seems to be able to just do anything if you give her enough time, because, you know, comedy musical.
God
she's
bless
been
her.
She's had like four or five turns on Broadway and almost all with good notices.
And suffered through postpartum depression.
I know, and the wrath, yes. and the wrath of one Tom
My role
Cruise,
model.
Sir or
sure.
ma'am. she is taking Chicago to the Hollywood Bowl, which I think would be a lot of fun this July, and she is going to be the director, not the choreographer. I was worried. We have no illusions of grandeur here. But she's going to be directing it there, and Rob Fisher will be the supervising music director and got this whole thing started. And now she is pretty much a lock now. I thought it was going to be Allie Wentworth. What's Stephanopoulos' wife's name? Is it Allie Wentworth, the comedian? Blonde, tall?
Yes.
Allie Wentworth?
Yes.
I thought she was the lock to be next on The View, but I pretty much think we're getting a spring of Brooke Shields just getting
Wait,
comfortable in Joy Behar's
Brooke Shields.
Chair.
Is
yeah,
it?
But I thought it was going to be between the two of
oh,
them.
Yeah,
but
yes,
they
yes, that.
Because Allie Wentworth's already kind of married to ABC because of George, but kind of shocking. I'm still in love with Chris Cuomo. That's not really news.
I think Chicago at the Hollywood Bowl would be really fun.
Oh, have you ever been to
I've never been there.
You know, if you go, I think every summer, I think it's over the 4th of July, they do the Sound of Music sing-along. Every queen in the greater metropolitan Los Angeles area, they're singing along.
I'm going to try to go this
And so
like
with
this
Chicago
year.
At the Hollywood Bowl, everybody's going to be all Roxy.
Oh, I want to see how long the run is because it is definitely worth
cool.
going. And the Hollywood Bowl,
that's
cool.
honest to God, you can go and watch Brooke Shields read the phone book. Not because she's good at reading the phone book, but because the bowl. And it's one of those lifetime experiences. Like, it should be on your bucket list is to see something
yeah.
there.
Oh, that's and, great. And Red Rocks. The Hollywood Bowl and Red Rocks are two.
Where's Red Rocks at?
Colorado.
Outside yes, of Denver. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I think I have a concert with Sting. Or Michael Bublé, or
it would be anything.
Somebody
it's,
a middle-aged
kind of
woman
that
would
same,
like. Yeah,
it's that same kind of thing. That anything there would be. I would love to see Mumford and Sons there,
That'd
who we
fun.
Talked about before as winning all those awards, and because they're like a jam band, and so you can just like drink beer and dance outside in the rocks, and it's
like I'm
gorgeous.
Serious. Because at the Hollywood Bowl, like I said, even if it's Brooks Shields reading the phone book, you're still going to find a reason to drink beer and
drink
dance.
Drink beer and dance.
Because they pack picnic baskets.
Or maybe a Pinot Grigio.
Picnic baskets.
Yeah, you picnic at the. You go there for a whole experience. And they don't want you to drive because they don't want the traffic. So
I
want to
die.
Buses.
I'm going to definitely. Like, if
you catch
Chicago,
buses from everywhere.
I love Chicago. But if there is an actual sing along of The Sound of Music, which I sing to Palmer every single day.
Oh, you'll
I
have a riot
there.
You but, should go.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And Mark Martinez, a decade ago, he had tickets to go see The Music of Spain at there. And I'm like, I'll go. Like, I really yeah. don't give a shit. I just want to go to the Hollywood Bowl. And it was the Bowl Orchestra. And it turns out Spain doesn't have a lot of music. So it was a short program. But it ended with two fireworks of all fucking things to Bolero with and it was a firework for every. Nipples are hard to talking
cool.
about. It was so beautiful, and we were so buzzed on wine. We had our picnic, and it was absolutely.
I mean, it's just like in a canyon. With
you're in a canyon with
trees.
Gorgeous homes, and the rich people
school.
Are looking down at you. Literally,
one of my high school friends lived in L.A. and was going there. She's like a cool, you know, chick, and she was always posting pictures of the Hollywood Bowl.
And then
I was very jealous.
A few years ago, I got to see Donna Summer did her great comeback at the Hollywood Bowl because it's where Live and More was, parts of Live and More were filmed. I don't know. I never remember if it's the Universal Amphitheater or Hollywood Bowl, but I've been to both this year. But she was at the Hollywood Bowl, and it was so much fun. And it was the worst seats I've ever had for a concert. I've never had that shitty of a seat, and I didn't even care. It was so good. And everybody.
Wait, you saw Donna Summer at the Hollywood Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And they did not do fireworks for Last Dance. I was so pissed up. But I mean, seriously, like, everybody was on the chairs dancing the whole show.
Well, there's parts of it are just like planks.
Are just planks
it's
of grass.
Not fancy.
Oh,
and we were singing and dancing.
You have that song in my head now.
No. Liza Minnelli was there recently.
Oh, I would have died.
You know, she's horrible, but she's Liza.
And, you know, I have to
her
have
voice
to say,
has really deteriorated.
It has.
And I
but she
her.
Still pulled it off because I saw her. Well, now it's been a while, probably 6 years ago. She thought she did the opening of the Mesa Arts Center, but she was really second. Somebody had played the night before and no one told her.
That's embarrassing.
But she was it was when she was doing Minnelli on Minnelli, so she was doing all the songs from her father's movies, and she got to What Did I Have That I Don't Have, which kind of applied to her because she's older now, the voice isn't there, new hips, new knees. And she
Is that
just,
a song?
Yeah, it's from On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. Right. So she came downstage and sang... Just her on the stool, What Do I Have That I Don't Have? or what did I have that I don't have, and wouldn't I be the late great me if I knew how, and it's just this stirring song. Oh, and she killed it. I mean, like, the crowd was, like, wiping away tears, and we were on our feet going nuts. I was like...
On your good feet.
Oh, my good feet. Yeah, so good.
But
so good.
I bought one of her last CDs, and, I mean, her voice is just so ragged.
And you'd think, like, they would fix it.
I were a silly queen.
Because now she's got a lisp and a saliva problem. Like, that's spot
has
on.
Has she had a stroke?
No. She's just... She's had everything.
Dion has, however.
She had, like, encephalopathy. She had all kinds of... She's had every disease possible. But she did the one album called Gently, where she did the duet with Donna Summer, where they did Does He Love You? And it was just so weird to hear Liza trying to keep up with Donna. And I'm like, oh.
That's the album that she sings Chances Are.
And it's her make-out album. And it's like, oh, I wouldn't make out to this. I'd be looking for medical attention for you, dear.
But back to Brooke Shields.
Okay, so that's Brooke Shields' big thing this summer. She's going to be directing that. And then
I wish she would show up. Because,
you know, well, she may play Roxy because she played Roxy in London and on Broadway, so she may step in depending on how big a star they get to sell it. She may step in for a time,
you know. And she's become one of these people that, I mean, I admire the hell out of her,
yeah,
for a lot of reasons, surviving her mother Terry Shields. But she's just famous for being famous too,
yeah, and a streak where she could act, like
when she did her Suddenly Susan, which shocked the hell out of everybody. Yeah,
that she could be funny. Here was this, and a child. She's the Gerber baby. Like, she's famous since the day she was born. She's the Gerber baby, for the love of God, and still is. And I don't think they've updated that kid.
I couldn't honestly.
No,
tell.
I don't think she's the Gerber baby.
Yeah, she's the Gerber baby. Because Jodie Foster's the Coppertone girl, and she's the Gerber. Like, they've both been famous since.
But, you know, she was somebody that really should have just kind of...
faded out. I mean, Pretty Baby. And, I mean, she made it 12. She made Pretty Baby with Louis Malle and just Kel Supree. I mean, it was just... It's a fantastic movie.
Exactly. You know how to use a bell.
And her, you know, then the... It's like, she kind of became, the Calvin Klein jeans girl and, you know...
But she sold a lot of Calvin Kleins.
Oh, my... But, you know, she's just... But, you know, she's Brooke Shields. Like,
yeah.
Like the female Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
They're just great for being them.
What... Would Calvin Kleins have caught on to the same effect without her and that controversy and that ad campaign? And, like, I don't think so. Calvin Klein probably would have made it big eventually, but she made him a household name. Like, she was way more famous than Calvin Klein was.
Oh, absolutely.
At that time, yeah.
Absolutely.
So... And then, all right, so I think that's all I remember about that.
I'm scanning through trying to find exactly...
Oh, and then Motown opened. And is it called Motown? Because I can't find the link you sent me.
I can't
remember where you sent that to me from.
I sent it from Facebook.
Okay, yeah. I can find that. So I read the review yesterday. Motown, it's a jukebox musical. And I have to tell you, there's good jukebox musicals. There's bad jukebox musicals. Smokey Joe's Cafe worked when it shouldn't. Lieber and Stoller's Hound Dog,
right.
On Broadway, Stand By Me, like every song you've ever heard of. And they put together a little tiny story in a cafe. Well, this is a jukebox musical about Motown. And Barry Gordy Jr. wrote it himself. God bless him. Mm-hmm. Again, dead or alive. I thought he died like five years ago.
Still alive.
They said the book is terrible. But that all the performers, like the girl that plays Diana Ross, is really good. And I guess there's one kid that plays like little Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson. Like, they have one person that does like all the young performers. And then they have someone that does like Rick James. And I can't remember who the other one is. But they're saying like, and if you're going to do a jukebox musical, this is the best jukebox to pull from. You have some of the greatest of all time. Like, they're just
and that
really
everybody
isn't,
knows.
Yeah, that there just is not a better catalog of music to call from. And that's why it works. They're like, there's so many problems with the book, but then they hit you with a song and you're like, well, I love that song, so right. I'm okay.
You're willing to forgive a multitude of sins because of the great music, huh?
That they get Diana Ross's like half shyness, half tiger, like that little voice that you think can't sing anything, but then she's taking on really complex tunes that when you go to sing, you're like, this shit's hard. How does she do it in a whisper? You know, so, and they just talk about all the different people. And an opening night, Diana showed up. She didn't do her Dreamgirls thing where she was like, this is not a fucking story. It's my life. Oh, here we go. It says it right here. It's no secret that Ross wasn't a fan of Dreamgirls.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool that it's playing, and it's a way to go and see.
Like they had like
Motown people, on Broadway.
Like I heard, like Mary Wilson was there, and obviously Barry Gordy's there as well. But my first question is, well, did he immediately want to hit on the younger version of Diana Ross?
Yeah. Can I impregnate her too? Yeah. The picture that they have is Barry Gordy Jr., who looks pretty good. Diana Ross, who still looks good. And Mary. So
you don't see much of Diana Ross these days.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't know why she would.
We were talking about her the other day that she's somebody who's kind of.
And there's no real reason for her to be in hiding. Like, she can still sing. She can still sell it. Like, there's I that's one of those ones that I know. But she also married that billion-dollar guy that died. She married the guy that died in the ski accident.
Sonny Bono?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, oddly.
That was my first
one. Or was it a Kennedy?
And I can't, his name was Arnie something or other, Arnis something or other.
Oh.
But she had twins by him, so she's got billions and billions, because he had one older daughter that's...
Aaron? Or was it Aaron?
No, I can't... It was like Arnis or something like that.
But that sounds right.
Yeah, she married him, had twins at a really late, at an advanced age. He died after they divorced, but she got all the money from him because his daughter is a big singer too. She sings one of my favorite songs called "Charm Attack," and I can't think of what her name is, but I'm sure that Katie's about to Google
she
it.
She just wrapped up a winter tour for 2013. She wrapped it up in February. Actually, she had 12, 13 dates.
Diana Ross did?
Yeah,
I guess I need to stalk her page.
She hit San Antonio, Texas, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Houston, and Biloxi, Mississippi.
Why is she doing the Bible Belt?
Really big, metropolis of America.
That was winter tour 13, according to this.
Not Tucson, Arizona.
If that's not a B tour, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Maybe she was doing B-sides.
All right.
B-sides in the B-tour.
It was a surprise to everybody.
Kel Supri. So I guess we have to, we're going to hit on it. We'll call this your guns section. Because it is, I mean, it's out there.
So we're wrapping
I honestly had a hard time finding headlines around this to go with. But the Boston Marathon yesterday, just a shocking, probably one, I mean, I can't think of an event that has more goodwill towards it. I mean, there's no political aspirations to it. It's a worldwide event. It's a holiday. It's Patriots Day. It's got, like, they've been celebrating. And is it the 104th running? Like, I can't even remember. Like,
no, it's like 127th.
Yeah,
really?
It's a big number.
It's long.
And a long time. And Massachusetts has had this as a state holiday forever. Like, even since Barbara Walters was a girl. I didn't realize it was that.
Wow, that's a long time. Which makes it even worse because it's a state holiday, because it's such a beloved event by Bostonians. It's a family affair.
Right. So it's everything. And then, I mean, this is their goodwill tour to the entire world. Like, people come, this is one of the biggest.
They said today, they said how many states and, you know, like some, like 27 countries or something. Mm-hmm.
They were runners.
All over the world.
And just shocking with that. And two things stuck with me. One from the evil side, which I'll get out of the way fast, is that if you do want to hurt runners, that these things went off at foot level.
Right.
Like, you're aiming for a runner. Like, everything detonated, everything affected lower extremities. These people were like,
because of the height.
And just a malicious act. And originally it was said that the Newtown families were in the VIP stands nearby, and it turns out there were a couple.
They dedicated the 26th mile.
Each mile was to a victim. Each mile was dedicated to a victim.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because there was 26 miles and 26 victims.
God damn. And then the 26th mile was specifically, from what I understood, I didn't know that, but that's very touching.
It makes all of it worse.
Yeah, like, but I know the 26th mile where they had the banners that were, you know, the top half of the banner was all Boston Marathon, and the bottom half of the banner was all, you know, we salute you, Newtown. And,
yeah.
Well, you know, I got to say, you know, there's America gets really good of all of its, you know, chest thumping and saber rattling and all that. But I really have to admire some of the people of Boston that after something so horrific that happened, after such an honored tradition, that they said, you know, Americans being Americans, and I know this sounds just so Reagan, they said, you picked the wrong city to fuck with.
I have that literally written down.
You know, I thought, you know what, bully for you.
Yeah. Well, and for all of them, because that's some tough people. Like, these are not nice neighborhoods that they were going, like, as they were going and interviewing people.
To the Southeast.
Yeah. You're interviewing these people, I'm like, you're going to fuck with them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, whoever the author is.
New Kids on the Block.
The author of, like,
he ran. One of them,
oh, really?
One of them was, he finished Joey McIntyre.
Joey McIntyre was in the race.
He finished, like, two minutes before.
Joey McIntyre was very close to the explosion.
Because Donnie Wahlberg was asking people to, like, I'm concerned for everybody, but if you could tell me about my friend, like, if you see him, just can you put something on Twitter that he's okay? Like, can you give me a hashtag? So it was very good. But and as I watched the video last night, because I wasn't feeling really well, so I was up for a little while. And all you because you can't really see much. Like, the camera angles are all kind of far away. But the first thing you see is, like, the hordes of people running in that just run towards an explosion to help people. And then it was, you know, the people that were there to help with dehydration, shin splints, cramps, probable heart attacks from doing something like a marathon, that they just ran in and helped and, like, just started pulling apart that barricade with, like, and then a bomb goes off, like, 12 seconds later. Nobody backed off. Like, nobody ran the other way. They just kept digging with another bomb going off. And I couldn't stop. That's all I kept seeing was, like, who are these superheroes that just run into – and it wasn't just – it was firemen, but it just was, like, regular people. And then the really funny thing was there was people that thought it was – they really thought it was, like, a cannon blast or some kind of celebration.
Well, yeah.
And they continued and finished and marked their time and then turned around and were like, oh.
That thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't know, though. I mean, it's...
No, because, I mean,
but, you know, it's funny, your comment there, and I know that this isn't an original thought. The bromide that's emerged on Facebook is the Mr. Rogers quote.
Oh, yeah, the helpers.
About his, look whenever for the helpers. He was a child and saw disasters, his mother would say, don't look at that, look for the helpers.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be people helping.
Right.
Well,
which is a really lovely thought.
Yeah.
And that's what people have been talking about a lot on the news, which is the positive spin, is that people have been talking about, you know, and Patton Oswalt started
this big
viral Facebook post that basically just said, you know what, go fuck yourselves. Like, whoever did this, what you were doing was seeking to, you know, divide and destruct and, hurt Americans and hurt us, but what you have really done is helped us prove to ourselves how strong we are.
And now we just don't need to invade a country.
And the good will always prevail. Yeah. Well, and that's...
Now we got to keep it in check and invade
let's keep
a country.
It, right, exactly. Like, bad begets bad. That doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We need to, like, be the stronger people. But what has made me crazy about it, and I know that we aren't going to spend a ton of time, but what's made me really crazy is... that it has been very much politicized already, which makes me feel like a crazy person from both sides, from the Republicans and the Democrats. You know, the Democrats are saying, well, it's da 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 da, you know, some of the Democrats have said if the Senate Republicans wouldn't block the ATF, you know, the leader of the ATF nomination, this wouldn't have happened. That has nothing actually to do with what this
was. Right, because it was very well controlled, that's why it had to be small, because they had bomb sweeps, they had tons of security,
and
you can still fuck with people, that's scary.
Yes, and there are Republicans who have said, well, this is exactly why we should not be passing any kind of an immigration reform, because this was probably an immigrant of some sort.
But look at the Oklahoma City bombing.
Well,
That's a perfect example.
And that went on for weeks.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Remember,
it was like, oh my gosh, it was somebody from another
country. No, it was someone right here. It was not even a homegrown, like, you know, it wasn't even like a, you know, you look at some of the other, gosh, what bombing am I think of that was, or shooting or bombing, or, that was a Pakistani-American.
The Fort Hood.
I don't know. There was another one that was was on the long list of things I was looking at today. It was on the news. But anyhow,
he was from North Tonawanda, like right outside of Buffalo. North Tonawanda, or he was from Wheatfield, or one of those little towns in western New York that you're like...
But the other thing that made me a little bit crazy, and maybe this is just me, is that the media has continued to use the word terror. And here's the thing. I get that it's this was terrifying, right? And so ultimately, this is terror. It's terror, and it's terrifying, and it's terrorism.
But we have to call that the Benghazi effect, because remember, that's why we're in all this trouble with Benghazi. That,
yes.
Was because they didn't call it an act of terror.
Well, I don't
know.
So
now we have to make Michelle Bachmann happy, and you have to call it terrorism.
It makes me so frustrated, because I feel like terrorism used in kind of the like the everyday vernacular, when people are talking about terrorism, they're talking about Middle East, Al Qaeda.
Right,
they're
but there's domestic terror, like domestic terrorism.
I don't know.
That's what got them in so much trouble, and why Michelle Bachmann won't get that air, and John McCain won't shut the fuck up because he said it wasn't an act of terror. Like, that one word is going to make those four dead people somehow less dead or more dead, or something is going to be affected by what word you choose on the Sunday morning news shows. And
pissed.
That's why Obama wouldn't say it at first. In his first press conference,
With this one.
But then everyone was saying, and like Elizabeth Hasbeck was on the news station, she's like, well, it's terror, it's terrorizing, you have to call it an act of terror. Because now that the Republicans have to stick to it, because they were so clear in Benghazi that's why everybody needs to be impeached and go away, is because they never said the word
terror. It's just
terror.
Weird, because maybe
it
I
is.
Was
it's,
just
it
too
makes
young.
No sense.
But I don't, you know, 9/11 happened when I was a senior in college, and I never thought about or heard about terror before that. And we had the bombings of, you know, the Oklahoma City bombings, and we had other.
But until they solved that, they thought that was.
So they still called that an act of terror.
It was domestic terrorism, but they didn't know that at first. They thought it was some foreign source coming over here, and they were calling it terror. And you should see the people they were trying to blame it on, like the horrors that were going around in the media until they landed on this purest of white American military guy. And then they're like, oh, no, what do we do with that?
I've heard some people speculate, though, that, you know, the word of terror or terrorism is anything that undermines you psychologically or spiritually. You know, whether it's abroad or domestic.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get into the whole semantics.
And that's what that word is.
And that's what it comes down to, semantics. And one of the things in a psychology class that I took was, like, your list of what's important to you. What needs do you have to take care of before you get to, like, becoming a developed person? Like, if you don't have these – and the one was, like – food and shelter is number one.
Yep.
Like, you will never be a well-adjusted, sane person if you can't find food and shelter. And number two was security. Mm. So if you don't have a feeling of security, you're never going to make rational choices, whether it's like a woman being terrorized at home, a child being terrorized. Any of these people that are in these situations, they don't feel safe. They can't get to good make good choices. They can't get there. First, they have to secure their security. They have to be safe.
Safety and feel.
And so that's what this this feeling is. And as soon as I got that, because I'm like, why do people go off the deep end? Like, why do we, like, take these things and then, like, invade a country a minute later? Like, what about them? And it's because you have to give – there has to be a feeling of, we are secure. We can take this and do something else. Like, you know what I mean? And so that's why bullies often are bullied. So they have to get their security from bullying someone else. Mm-hmm. They have to go pick on someone else so they can feel secure somewhere else. It's that, and it's a very strange construct, but I think it helps to understand why people just can't get rational.
I guess, and that's just what has made me crazy about the whole thing, is that it's, I guess, what I'm hearing is that it is just kind of my thought process is, like, when I hear terror, I automatically think of the Middle East, and I think that's what everyone else is saying, I guess. And it's like, these are Middle Easterners, and we don't know that yet. I guess I just feel like, what we're feeling, and not even we in Arizona, for Christ's sake, like, for the Bostonians are feeling, like, how people in Syria, how the general normal population in Syria feels every day, is that they go through this.
Because we are very behind
on
acts of terror.
And I feel like a lot of Americans portray anyone in the Middle East as terrorists.
Yeah.
And that's why that, you know, there was a TV show called, you know, My Muslim Family. And it was like an A&E reality show or something. And it was just about a family that was Muslim and a girl, young high school girl, and they were Muslim. And it was on the air for like one episode because people went ape shit. And they're like, we're not showing terror on TV. So when I hear, and I'm going, that's not terror. That's like a random family that's American that practices Muslim religion. Like, so it makes me feel crazy when I hear terror. my head goes there, and I guess that's just kind of the way I've been ingrained
as
well.
The shooting that just happened at the Sheikh, what was it, the Sheikh Temple? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, they're like, we're not them. Like,
yeah.
Same hat, different, like, we don't right. believe with, like, we're not the same religion.
Yeah.
And it was so disheartening.
I know we're wrapping this up. The other thing is that Westboro Baptist Church, it's old. It's getting old, Westboro. Like, nobody really, really, really cares. They've already, of course, they're going to protest. And of course, all this happened because gays are around. And it's just old to me.
I didn't have the strength to gay, because usually after a tragedy, I Google.
Or giggle.
Yeah, Westboro.
Gays, just to see who got there first.
Well, it's always Westboro, and they're old. The one other thing that is just, that made me say to Kelly today, what the fuck is really going on? The second pipe bomb in Coconino County has been found in the last week. It was in the forest. It had not been detonated. It's been out there for a couple of weeks. They found with rain and, you know, all this kind of debris on it. So it's been out there long enough to have been there during the rainstorms as of late. But crazy.
Yeah.
It's just is crazy town and what's going on in the world. Hashtag no hashtag.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, the American government blew up nuclear bombs in Utah because it's barren wasteland. Why not practice your pipe bombs?
There's a pipe bomb in the forest.
It was just on the news today, and I'm like, why are people doing this?
We are at the end of hour two. Dion, unfortunately, I think you've got to leave. Or can you stay?
15 more minutes.
Oh! We can get you through maybe the third hour. The dog is still fine, right?
Yeah, I'm
alive at the moment.
Can Talk America is not responsible for any injuries sustained to the dog.
We love Mabel.
Anywho, it is the end of hour two. We're going into hour three, a little bit of a game we call Would You Rather and some thoughtful vulgarity. Coming up, stick around. It's Q Talk America on a Tuesday.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America.